I know if somebody, how bad somebody wants you stabbed or killed or hurt by the number of coffees that's on your head.
Like, if you stab him, I'll give you 7 bags of coffee.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're going to get stabbed.
If there's 7 bags of coffee on your head, you're going to get stabbed.
If it's 7 bags of coffee.
For real, that's that.
All right. You're sitting there looking at me like you. If it's 7 bags of coffee on your head, you're stabbed.
For sure. There's no like, we'll see if somebody takes that price.
Shit, no. You are stabbed. You stabbed by somebody who usually don't even stab people.
Oh, I'm pressing down a dinner card for too many times. On the outskirts of town, for the railroad tracks, for the country moonshine. Oh, I'm pressing down. Tell my girl I'll be back one day. Oh, I'm pressing down. Ain't never know any other.
Jesus Christ. I've been looking through goddamn videos of tsunami creatures. What's this one? Do angels caught on camera flying in the tsunami? Come on, guys. They just look like special effects. The link in the description will tell you all you need to know about this video. All right. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. That's not an angel. How do you know that's it? What? Oh, that looks like angels. That's clearly Photoshop. That's just a movie. No way. There's no... It's like it looks like a human with wings. Stop it. Zoom in slow-mo. That's not part of the video. No. No. Listen to me. Like, I'm even convinced possibly that it might be something. I know there's no angels and they weren't caught on video. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Guess who I am? Ari Shaffir. So listen, on today's episode, I have this guy, this comedian named Ali Siddiq. He's a guy I didn't know before a few months ago. He's been to prison. He did time for trafficking. Dealing drugs, everyone. Oh my God. And he did my storyteller show. And he was, in my opinion, the best story of the year. And it's out this Thursday night at 12:30 a.m. Thursday night, Friday morning on Comedy Central after at midnight. You guys, what else are you going to do besides tuning in to This Is Not Happening? Burt Kreischer is on this episode. Paul Scheer is on this episode from The League. By the way, I saw Burt Kreischer on the cover of some travel magazine. And I want to be like, Burt, you're on the cover of a goddamn magazine. But also, Ali Siddiq is on this episode. It's called Battles. And it's all stories. It's got the coolest opening of the year. Did you guys see the first episode? It was awesome. I was on it. Bobby Lee was on it. Keegan-Michael Key. But this episode's amazing. You guys are going to love it. Thursday night at 12:30. You must tune in. So I had Ali Siddiq in to talk about prison. I have never met anyone in prison before who had been to prison. Ali Siddiq's story this Thursday night is about prison. So yeah, why not have him in talk about prison? Of course, that's what I should do. So I did it. We arranged it. We did it. Also, you guys, thanks for watching my special. Thanks for watching the first week of the Storyteller Show. The ratings for both were amazing. Comedy Central was so impressed. They were so impressed with the ratings for the special. They were like, I don't understand. Well, maybe that's what I was. No, it wasn't them. They were like, we knew it. I was like, I don't get it. How could I have gotten the level of ratings? They were calling it the fifth best ratings in the demographic in the last 5 years. Something along those lines. Mystery man flies past Airbus plane. Come on. A million hits. Here's how I can tell there's nothing there. Because 1,800 likes, 1,500 dislikes. No. Too much intro. Obviously wrong. Okay, let's get to the actual footage.
What looked to be a man?
What?
And the passengers were just completely baffled.
That's just a fake.
Other reports confirmed that there were no hang gliders or skydivers in the area.
That's just a fake Photoshop.
The pilots couldn't see any sort of canopy suspended on the man, as if he was either.
That's so dumb. Biggest animal ever recorded in ocean depths? Question mark? Answer. I'm guessing no.
The sound, due to what it sounds like.
Who is this? Strange Mysteries. Oh, that other one, Strange Mysteries, also. Oh, this is funny. Who is that guy? So stupid. All right. My new promo for the week is Strange Mysteries. I don't know what the deal is, but go to their YouTube and fucking find shit. Also, you guys, go to This Is Not Happening on YouTube and click in This Is Not Happening playlist, and you can see all the videos. We're releasing like 3 to 5 a week. So click in your playlist, and every Monday, fucking go in there. Every Tuesday, there's a new video. No, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, new videos. Hi, baby. All right, let's start the episode, shall we? Was there anything I had to say? I don't think so. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, don't forget to use my Amazon link. Oh, you want to jump up, but you can't. On my website, arithegreat.com or arishafir.com, you can find all extra features from each episode, videos that we talked about. You can also find the music. And links to the videos for the music on the episode. And you can also find my Twitter link. No, excuse me. My Amazon link. If you want to shop through Amazon, everybody shops on Amazon, can you please use my link? It'll help pay for the podcast and the money I pay for the guests. It's just right below my dates on my right-hand side of my podcast, on my website. Just go to the right-hand side. Go down a little bit, past my dates, and you'll see an Amazon link. It's an Amazon link on the right, and then an Amazon CA link for Canada on the far right. If you're going to shop on Amazon, just go through that. So please just bookmark my website, arithegreat.com, and bookmark it as Amazon. And then when you click on to go to Amazon, just it'll go through the link, click on that. It's one extra click, and then I get enough money to keep this shit going. So please do that. 10,000 aliens saved Earth from nuclear meltdown. Strange Mysteries. What is Strange Mysteries?
Did aliens protect our planet from being destroyed by a nuclear meltdown?
No, I did not. What is this shit? What is Strange Mysteries? I gotta find out about this. All right, you guys. Let's start the episode. So don't forget, tune in this Thursday night at 12:30 a.m. And if you want to get my special, go to arishafir.com, click on the banner at the top, or you can get extra merch at the merch page with the special. Get everything, you guys. And if you guys, I feel like there's a version of it up online for the torrents. Whatever put it up there... they put the broadcast version up. That's like 60% of the special. And if you include the extra features, it's like 45% of the special. It's 42 minutes on broadcast, 73 minutes runtime, plus a 20-minute, 18-minute Q&A, plus a 7-minute tour of the Comedy Store. 72, 82, 90, 97 on 45. Yeah, it's like 45% of the special. Put up the fucking full version. Don't be assholes. If you're going to steal it, steal it. Thank you for tuning in. Episode 203. We're going to talk about prison. Me and Ali Siddiq. Live from the old phone room at the Comedy Store. All the fucking... What is this? What is this, baby? All the... what's it called? It was taken out. All the furniture was taken out. So, might sound a little echoey. I apologize. But let's start. Let's not waste any more time. Here we go. Oh, the name of the episode is called Prison Rules. Prison Rules with Ali Siddiq. 203-ish, or maybe 4. 203. Starting now. Oh, and don't forget to see me this weekend in Denver, Colorado, at the Comedy Works, where I recorded my CD, Revenge for the Holocaust. I'm back 2 times later. Did a whole special in between last time and this time. Now I've got a new 43, maybe 30-ish minutes of material that you didn't see, and another 15 that's like so-so you didn't see. Come out. Steve Simone from Good Times with Steve Simone, and was then the podcast Remember This, where we went over his CD. He's featuring for me, so come out, and I'll be at the Parlor in downtown Seattle with Nick Youssef, February 19th, 20th, and 21st. Here we go. Let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic, episode 203, Prison Rules with Ali Siddiq, starting now. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody knows they look up. We'll dance to the jail, let's rock. Number 47 said to number 3, you're the cutest jailbird I ever did see. I sure would be delighted with your company. Come on and do the jail, let's rock with me. Sorry, I'll do introductions later, but how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well.
How long have you been in LA for?
This time?
Yeah, when'd you get here?
I got here Monday.
Okay, how often do you come back here?
I try to come like once a month, man, do something around the city.
Like what, like meetings and shit, or just like stay meetings, in the business?
TV. I usually just come for business. I'm not really a quote-unquote good L.A. comic.
Yeah, because well, you live in Houston.
Yeah.
How do you live in Houston? I mean, it's cool that you're coming out once in a while, but like...
Man, Houston's like... It's hard to leave a place that made you.
Yeah.
You know, that keep you on edge. It's like, in Houston, nobody cares about any TV show that I do or...
Really?
Any stand ovation. They're like, okay.
Just we, like, whatever.
We just know you. And then, you know, then they get happy... If somebody else says something about me, but when it's me, it's, you know, it just keep me grounded, really.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's I never cool. get caught up in the, oh, you're a big dude. I'm like, no.
Also, in Houston, you don't get that shitty LA way of living, dealing with people.
Yeah.
People here don't say hi enough.
Yeah. It's like, it was weird. I went to the, you know, the Improv Monday, and it was like a weird, like a real weird thing.
Like, what
all these
mean?
Comics just acting all funny and,
acting, you know, like trying to be extra funny.
Yeah, trying yeah. to act. You know, hey man, I'm regular. Just because yeah. you see, you know, what are you doing out here, man? I know you're doing something. Let's get together and do something. Get together and do what? You're not doing it. You weren't doing nothing before I came here. Now you see me, and now you want to get together and do something.
Like, here's my new thing: when people are like, we should do a movie together. I'm like, yeah, man, write it, get it produced, and I'll be in.
Yeah.
If you get it ready, then sure. But what you're talking about is me writing something and a part for you and then trying to get it made. I'm not going to get a movie made, idiot.
Yeah,
who knows man. How to do that?
Like, man, it's like, I don't. I'm out here trying to get something.
Yeah.
And you already live out here. So if I come out here, what are we going to do together?
Yeah.
That you wasn't doing, and you just instantly want to do something. You saw me. Come on, man. I don't have the type of
exactly. You weren't ready. You weren't like, hey, I've been thinking about you. No, you weren't. You just got the idea right now.
And then you heard I was on. Like, man, this is. I guess it's like your show is like a really big thing, man.
Yeah, like, people are excited about it. We'll see how it does.
Is super people. Hey man, like
you haven't done it yet though.
I haven't even come on. It's like they heard.
Oh, your name was on the lineup.
I took a picture with you, and then now it's all. Now it's these other weird guys coming up to me. Now at first it was just like I had a little hood fame. Now it's like, hey man, you know Ari.
White people fame, stoner fame.
Like, it's like you and this. It's like, but your show is like a real respected guy that I know, Billy D. Washington. I really respect him.
Wait. I'm thinking Billy D. Williams.
Yeah.
Okay. Billy D. Washington.
I did the same thing when I first heard his name.
Oh, I know Billy D. Washington. I've met him before.
Yeah. He called me. He's like, hey, man, congratulations. I just saw a trailer. You on a wonderful new. And I'm like, what show?
What are you talking about?
Like, I don't even know. Because he's like, it's on Facebook. And I'm like, it's like, well, all right. Oh, this is not happening. Boom. Yeah. What's good? He's like, yo, man, it's a bunch of A-listers. I'm like,
it's a good lineup. It's a real good lineup. I told Maron and Rogan and Rob Corddry, so I'm like, thank you guys. I appreciate you doing it. The story's gonna look great, but just do you know, you doing it helps like legitimize the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a solid look. I went online. I looked at all of the stories.
The old ones?
Yeah.
You looked at those before you did yours?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You did great. Yours is my favorite one. The network likes Kreischer the best, but yours was my favorite. It was so fucking good. You told it so good.
Man, because it's just a real story, man. I have so many stories about prison.
What did you go to prison for? You went to prison for dealing?
Yeah, man, drug trafficking, delivery.
How'd they catch you? What was delivery? What does that mean? Yeah,
delivery. I was delivering 5 kilos of cocaine.
To someone else who's going to distribute it?
Someone else who was going to distribute it, who said they wanted to buy it. Liars. They were the feds. They were lying. Oh. Feds are liars. They tricked me.
Were you like, what? We had a deal. Can I still sell you the coke though? And they're like, no, the whole thing is off.
No, was crazy. That's the story I actually wanted to tell. Like, you got to trust people who you in business with, man. I like me and this guy who I've been dealing drugs since I was like 14. I met this guy named, you know, unnamed.
And yeah, that's a good name.
So I met him. So this guy had been trusting me since I was 14. I got busted like 4 days after I turned 19. I went to prison.
4 days after you turned 19?
Yeah, like literally. And I know the feds think they caught me.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. They just happened to be the ones who captured me. I really caught myself. I remember when I first started selling drugs, an old dude told me, never say these words ever. Live by this. Never say, I'm never going to get caught. The day you say that, your time is numbered after that. I remember I was in.
You knew you were going to get caught eventually.
I never thought I was going to get caught until I said this. I remember it. I was in this spot called, it was Little Rock, Arkansas. We stopped at the gas station.
Yeah.
Me and this dude talking about delivering some dope. And he said, well, you know, I haven't had nobody to run it for me. I said, well, just give it to me. You know, I never get caught. And as soon as I made that statement, I knew I messed up.
You fucked up by saying it. Like a jinx?
It's like soon as because I had never said that before ever. And I was like,
You knew because the old man.
I just didn't know when it was coming. But before I got busted, I saw the whole thing. I was literally the whole time. And my business partner, he was like, I didn't know what was wrong with you. It's like I never even thought, because you've never been nervous before. And I said it because I saw the sign. I was like, hey, man, this is the feds. And he was like, what make you think that? I'm like, it is 12 o'clock. Nobody's checking out of this hotel. Nobody's checking out of the hotel. Nobody's cleaning up. It's no maid. Nothing. Nobody's doing anything. Checkout is at 12. Why wouldn't somebody be cleaning up? Why wouldn't somebody be checking out?
What'd he say?
He was like,
because you don't want to believe it.
Didn't believe me. It was in slow motion. He opened this trunk. He opened the trunk to show the informant the cocaine, and the informant did an act that I know that's really not a rational act. He took his hat off.
Why?
That was a sign for the feds to jump out. So once he looked, when he popped the trunk, as soon as he looked, he took his hat off, and the fed, it's like they came from everywhere. It was like just imagine nobody in the parking lot, and in 2 seconds, everybody's in the parking lot.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, this is great. But
did you think of running?
I ran. Oh,
how far did you get?
I put up a nice little chase, but it came to a tragic end. Yeah, it was a nasty outcome, man.
They tackle you and call it a day. Man, fuck, sorry.
I went one way and I thought I had him. I thought I was on some Barry Sanders, and I found myself on the end of a shotgun, right on the end of bow, right on the side of the head.
Really?
Yep, out like a light.
Knocked you out.
Knocked me out. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then you wake up and you're in custody.
I'm in custody. My business partner, he's on some high speed chase in a car. They got helicopters.
Really? Yeah. He got in the car.
He got back in the car.
Good for him.
And long chase. I'm listening to it on the radio, and they keep punching me in the back of the thing. Who is he? What is his name? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm knocked out. It was weird, man. But he eventually got caught. It was crazy. Oh. 6 years, man. 6 years.
You went to jail for 6 years.
Yeah, they gave me a 15-year sentence. I did six on the 15. But
did you do it with your business partner?
Nah, I'm glad I didn't. Why? I didn't. I think he was the worst person that I ever think I met in my life would have been totally different. I would have never met him.
Really?
Yeah. Totally different.
Why? He talked you into it or some shit?
Nah, I was already, you know, in the streets, so to speak. Yeah. You know, street kid. But when you have you can't have bad influences as older bad influences, because you think like, man, this guy, I'm 14, he's like 27,
so he should know what he's doing.
And, you know, and how do a 14 year old become your business partner? Because I was already in the streets, you know. So, and I could have did a lot more things. If he would have said, hey, keep playing basketball or keep playing baseball, maybe I would have been a Hall of Fame shortstop or something.
He got you into dealing?
Yeah.
What did he say? How did he do it? Just give you some, say you want to make some money? What did he do?
Nah, it was, you know, when you don't have things and your mom working, so you see this guy, he doing whatever he's doing, and you watching it, then you, hey, which, you know, you want to be down with my squad? You want to make some money? You want to, you know, have better things? You're like, yeah. So then you buy something from me, you know, start selling, and now you are part of a team. Somebody's giving you when you're 14, and somebody give you $500, and you you like, damn,
yeah,
it's like this is all I gotta do.
Damn,
you know, so
fucking 500. Me and my friend one time at finals, they had the finals, the whole high school had finals, and they were giving out Bullets tickets at the end of it because the Bullets sucked back then. So it was like Bullets versus like the Bucks. And they're like, here's two free tickets to every kid. Just like, just pretty much come, you know?
Yeah.
So me and my friend Chaim were like, nobody wants them. I'm like, hey, you're using your ticket? You're not going to go. Give us a ticket. And we went out and scalped. We scalped for like 2.5 hours. We had like 40 tickets. We didn't make $500.
Yeah. You got to think, man. It's the I'll never forget this when, you know, I went to, you know, you're trying to get out of jail. So you're doing all the right things. You're going to crazy classes, and you're trying to show that you have been rehabilitated.
They make you do that? They make you show effort?
They don't make you do it. You just do it to, you know, some of these things you do to better yourself. Because, you know, I was a kid that was, you know, had a lot of good friends. So now I'm like, well, I'm going to try to make parole the first time.
Yeah.
And then those dreams and hopes go out.
You went to jail as a 14-year-old?
No,
full jail?
Jail is 19. 4 days that I turned 19.
So it was the 14. Oh, he started with you at 14.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
So
damn, 19's a kid too, though.
Yeah, 19. You're a kid, man. You don't know. You have no clue. And then you put in a play. This is what prison does. They
19
put,
to take 25.
A non-violent offender and put him in a violent environment.
Because you weren't doing anything with violence.
Nah, you selling drugs. It's not violent. You making money.
Did you ever get robbed or anything while you were selling?
Which is crazy. I got robbed twice. I got robbed twice. One, I was 15. And the second time, I was like 18. It was really weird. Because I knew I was going to get robbed. I saw it. The first time, I didn't see it. That's why I have a scar under my eye. And I see double in my left eye. Because this guy robbed me for like two rocks. A guy named Quincy. He was a crackhead. So, but the second time, some Colombians tied me up.
No way.
And took the dope that I was selling to them. It was an agreement. I'm coming with 2 kilos. You money for drugs. And they tied me up. They pulled a gun on me and tied me up and threw me in my own trunk.
Oh.
In the car. So my business partner looking for me. And I'm tied up in my own car.
Banging?
The worst thing. They duct tape my face, right? Uh-huh. So my face is duct tape. And he's trying to take the duct tape off slow. And it's the worst. It's like when he snatched it, it's like he snatched it. It's like my whole face was on the duct tape. Oh, man, it was the worst. We laugh about it now, or we laughed about it then. But it was horrible, man. Being stuffed in the trunk is horrible. It's like, because I'm thinking nobody's going to find me.
You got to think, like, you're going to die there.
Who knows that I'm here? A Monte Carlo trunk is very spacious for some reason. Yeah, 70, I had a 79 Monte Carlo.
Did you jerk off or anything back there? How long were you there for? Oh, you're all right. That's right. You're tied up.
Did you jerk
there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. Just got to want it, at least.
Sitting in the trunk, jacking out as you robbed. Yeah. Now you're thinking about how do you pay this money back.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because you owe it to them.
I owe it to, you know, my business partner.
So they got robbed?
Because it was my deal.
You had to pay for it?
Yeah. It's no, in drug dealing, there's no... Hey,
shit happens.
We comp that. It's no. You can't. It's no comps. Yeah, but comedy is a lot better avenue. But comedy is like drug dealing.
How?
It's crazy. Because, man, you know, just think. Case in point, somebody watches your whole act, which is your product.
Yeah.
And then steals your whole act and does it somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem. You may not be, may not be a street person, but you're going to address the situation because it's your product.
Right.
And that's how drugs are. It's just, this is your product. This is what you're selling, you know? And so this is my corner. This is my area.
And then somebody else is selling your product.
Yeah. When somebody else is selling your product, you know, can't nobody come do your jokes and you be okay with it.
I've never heard it being compared to a drug dealer before. Hilarious.
It's a parallel, man.
Compared to a drug, never to a drug dealer.
Your jokes, yeah. Your product.
That makes sense. So let me ask you a question. So all these nonviolent offenders and violent offenders get stuck in together.
Yeah.
It's got to turn you violent, right?
Easy.
How are you not going to, I mean, if you hang around with British people, you start talking with an accent.
Yeah, it becomes easy, man, because you can't let anybody take advantage of you.
People tried?
Yeah, oh man. People try to take advantage of you in so many different ways. They try to hustle you out of everything. You're in a room full of thieves.
Right.
So everybody has the, as soon as you turn your back, they had a knife out. Like, what can I beat you for? Can I get you for something? What can I get you for?
They don't respect each other as like humans?
No, you have to. Respect comes with either violence or the threat of, or the notion that you could become violent. Like, you're kind of artsy looking dude.
Yeah.
So in prison, the very thought of you looking at somebody weird for like 20, all you gotta do is just look at somebody like you staring at me for like 5 good minutes.
Yeah.
You're gonna, and be silent, never say anything. You'll make it through prison. People would be terrified. They'd be like, yo, the tall guy, white guy, he is a crazy person. Because it's a threat of, if I do something to him, he's going to retaliate in a way that I can't imagine.
Right.
So why even risk it? Then when somebody does risk it, then if you do something, then you're done. It's like, as soon as you respond, then it's done.
Because then they know what you can do.
I watched a dude who I know couldn't fight at all. Big guy, jumped on him. He grabbed his balls and he bit him in the middle of his chest.
Really?
And wouldn't let him go.
Just held on?
Just held on, squeezing his balls and biting him in his chest. The mere thought of getting into it with him after that, after we saw that.
It ain't worth it.
It's not worth it. Because he...
Okay, my chest bit, my balls squeezing.
Nothing conventional is going to happen. This yeah. man is not fighting a fair... Whatever you think, this is not a boxing match to him. This is a mauling. Whatever he can get to, whatever he can grab, that's what he's going to do.
That's what he's going to do.
Just a threat of that violence.
Yeah, why bother? I used to say, like, whenever you ever see a squirrel take a couple steps at you, and you're like, what the... And then I started thinking, like, could I beat up a squirrel? And I'm like, I bet I could. But then I thought, I don't want to be in that fight. Get my face all scratched up as I'm trying to find him and beat him against a tree and he's scratching my hands.
Man.
I don't want that fight.
I don't want a cockroach on me, let alone a squirrel. I ran from I was chasing a possum in Arkansas one time.
He's a fucking redneck, yeah.
And me and this rapper, B-Fine, he had a rap song out with this dude named YZ. We chasing a possum, and the possum was just, I guess he got frustrated with our nonsense. He just stopped, turned around and showed us his teeth, and we just halted. I think
really?
Because I stopped like, oh, so fuck. Fast, I think my shoe came off.
Your shoe kept going.
It's like, man, dude. And I was like, just the thought of him turning around, jumping on me, was enough for me to just ease up.
Yeah, they're scary animals. You're like, what? I don't know what they do. What do they do?
Man, an animal.
I had a duck chase me down once, or a swan. We were too close to their kids. And we're like, oh, fuck.
Because, man, that beak, bird, you can't, you're a human. It's like nothing.
You don't fight the same way. You can't get that in an arm bar.
No, man, it's not, what's fair?
Did you have a lot of like rats and cockroaches in prison? Was it like that? Where were you in prison?
I was in prison in Texas. It was mostly no rats, really. Just hot.
Hot.
A lot of different elements. Heat, mostly. And you know, cockroaches, not really. But you get a strange bug you've never seen before. Because you'd be in these rural areas where they just cut down
a bunch of trees and
set a prison there and didn't cure the land or anything, so everything's still coming up, you know. So
yeah.
You know, just weird things like that, scorpions and...
Oh, really?
Now, the main thing is, what's the spider that... a lot of spider bites in prison. The brown
The brown recluse spider?
Yeah.
Super dangerous.
Man, you get bit by that, man, I got a bite. You don't know what it is at first. It looked like a pimple.
Yeah.
And then when you pop that pimple, all hell
breaks loose. Why? What happens?
Because you don't know, you don't realize that a spider, the bite, the venom, it rots from the inside out. So you had this little bump, but everything under there is rotten.
It's like a Titanic. It's an iceberg of rot.
So once you pop it, then it's like it spreads. Oh, man, it's the worst. And if you don't catch it, man, it's raggedy.
I heard just like totally atrophies like all your muscles. It just like breaks them all down.
Oh, man, it's awful.
So they had those?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to prison. What'd your mom say when you went to prison?
Devastated.
Really?
Devastated. My mom was like, she was in court listening to, it's like somebody reading a story about a person that you know, but you have no clue that they're talking about them. My mom's like, she's looking at the tape.
She's like, not my court. Son. None of this.
It's like the man. She couldn't say not my son because the video was showing your son.
Yeah, your son.
This is your son, ma'am.
Yeah.
Then she was heartbroken. And what crazy was she had just lost my little sister had just passed away
from what?
It's like meningitis, basically, but they call it meningococcus. It comes in right after the flu. She was 8.
Damn.
She passed away. Then my older sister goes off to the Navy to run away from the hurt of that. And then I go to prison. So my mom, it's like she lost all 3 kids at the same time.
Oh, that sucks.
So her son's in prison writing crazy stories about how prison is judicial slavery. I'm writing the parallel stories of how this is slavery, and I can't believe I'm in this situation. And she's like, hey, man, we here. And then the story comes from how I had some type of, you know, outlook on this to 2 years of being extremely violent.
What do you mean? You became extremely violent?
Oh, extremely violent. Because I got moved from a minimum security unit to a maximum security unit because for some reason I decided to continue my education and say, hey, let me go to school and, you know, try to get some trades and some other, yeah, you know, things. So they wasn't,
I mean, that's a good idea.
The school that I was at, the prison I was on wasn't offering college. So in order to get to a school that was offering a 4-year college, I had to get a trade. So I went to I became an electrician. So I said, I'll do that, you know, become an electrician. So they sent me to a maximum security.
Because they're the ones that had, they had a major in electricity.
So I majored. I got moved up. So, man, as soon as I got off this bus, this dude named Muhammad was like, yo, get a knife. First thing, get you a knife.
That's how violent it was?
That's it. Get you a knife.
Did the maximum security not do anything? I mean, wouldn't more security mean less violence?
Nah, man. It's maximum security. You go from, it's literally, and I remember this because it's odd because I can remember these things. You literally go from a prison. Just imagine at your house, you probably have just a fence. Now go to somebody else's house. Imagine a fence with razor wire laid on the ground.
Yeah.
That's how extreme, that's the extreme of how it goes from a minimum security, she's got a little fence, to you look like you are in Germany,
right?
In war, you know, in World War One. It is insane. And it's a whole different environment. But it's a different level of respect, too. Because everybody there think they can be killed by you.
And everyone knows everyone at all times.
Everybody here is a consequence here for everything.
Was the minimum security stuff like that, where it's just a fence, where it wasn't even that?
It's two gates, razor wire, normal prison stuff. Maximum security, 8 fences, more razor wire, dogs, more things, people riding around the outside. It just looks like a concentration camp. It looks totally different.
Damn.
It looks totally different.
Damn.
And so you go into this, and then they even transport you in different.
Why? How?
You shackle. Like, you get, say you.
Really?
You, minimum security, me and you handcuffed together.
Yeah.
Get off the bus, we handcuffed. Maximum security, now I'm shackled here. I'm shackled to my belt.
You can't even move. Oh, really? Your hands both together to your belt.
To your belt. Now you like that. Different atmosphere, because now you're considered a maximum danger. You are a dangerous individual. You are a minimum individual. Now you are extremely dangerous.
Man, so they don't trust you at all, even to move.
Nah. And then you have to earn any of that. That has to be.
What do you mean you have to earn it?
You have to, like, you come in at a certain status, and then say you come in at you high risk as soon as you get there. Like you're S4. So then you want to move down to S2, S1.
What's S?
It's just your status. You know, okay. what they classify.
So right away you're super dangerous. Is there an S5? Can you go up?
No. The S5 is closed custody.
What does that mean? Solitary?
Yeah, you'd be solitary confined. You'd be by yourself.
Okay. I got a question about when you went in, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
What's it? Okay. Is there like, so they took your freedom. When they arrest you and take away your freedom, what's that like? What's that feeling like? Like, I can't get out. I can't do anything.
When you first get arrested, you don't think that your freedom is all the way gone. You think you captured, but it's a possibility that you can get away because you're gonna go. Because this is what I'm actually thinking. Okay, I'm arrested. I have enough money to get out.
Right.
I'm not concerned about money. Money is not an issue. So then you get
from
arrested.
Dealing.
I'm from dealing. I have enough money to do whatever, so I'm not concerned. So then you go and they say, well, we're going to give you a $150,000 bond.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do I need to pay the $150,000 straight out, or what do I need to do?
You could afford it?
Yeah, I could afford that.
Damn.
At that time, I could afford that. That's no problem.
As a 19-year-old.
19. I can afford that. And now, the problem is, are you a flight risk? If you pay, the people saying, don't pay the 100. Now you're listening to people. Don't pay the 100,000, because that means that you're an actual drug dealer and you're trying to go in and say that you're not a drug dealer.
Right.
So now I have to pretend as if I don't have enough money to get out. So now you go to bond reduction to say, oh, I don't have this money. I'm not a drug dealer.
You're just going through the motions.
You're just going through the motions. Now I'm in bond reduction. And the man, Woody Denson, my judge at the time,
yeah,
he added another 100,000.
Why? From bond reduction, he went up?
Yeah, and I and me being a young cocky kid at the time, asked the judge, I said, you don't know what reduce mean? Reduce means to take away, not to add. Because he said, he's like, yo, man, you on probation. For I was on Judifer probation at the time that I got the drug case for a theft that I really wasn't stealing anything. I was in a car with some jerks, man,
who
snatched a freaking purse.
That's it,
man. I'm in the back seat, me and my friend, other guy driving. This jerk gets out and snatches a purse out of a hair salon and jumps in the car. He drives off because I don't tell
I'm a part of it. That's bullshit.
So
that's bullshit. You don't have to tell, and you just certainly don't have to steal a purse, but you didn't, you're not, that's not your responsibility.
You in the car, and according to,
it's like all three of you pulled a heist on a purse.
The law, according to the law, we should be decent enough to turn our friend in.
Bullshit. That's not really a law, is it? Fuck that. Turn your friend in. No, you tell him, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Don't ever do that shit again. You don't, like, turn him in, like, this over is the a law. Purse. Oh, well. Bullshit. Like, or you go to jail for stealing a purse?
And then you get 2 years probation because the friends.
Boo, don't. Government, boo.
That's the law, man. You can't receive stolen goods. You can't be in a car with somebody, commits a crime and don't tell.
Damn.
Like, you, like, this is a real, this is an actual law. Like, if you ask, if you walked up to me and say, hey, where's the cocaine? And I point and say that way, I'm a conspiracy to that crime.
No way,
and
really?
Go down there and somebody actually is selling cocaine. I'm a part of the ring of the crime.
Even if you're like, I don't want any part of this, but I think there's dealers, they're only at that corner. If you're like, get away from me, they're over there. Then you're a conspirator?
Yep.
Man, they come up with good ways to get you.
Hey, man, they have a lot of
conspirator. Conspiracy. That's the fucking 9/11 was a conspiracy. The fucking Kennedy assassination, those are conspiracies. Conspiracy's not, yeah, drugs are that way. That's not a conspiracy. You're making it sound way more grand than it is.
No, I'm just saying that's what they
conspirator.
Say.
Conspirator.
9/11 was odd.
I mean, no, whatever it is, I'm saying. But the way people act about it, that they're saying it's a whole thing.
It's a whole, hey.
Multiple people knew.
I've been on the internet. Whitney Houston's death is a conspiracy now.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man.
What did the water conspire to fucking fall into it?
I'm on it, man. I'm on it. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, Tupac was definitely.
Oh, man. And everybody, Michael Jackson apparently was at his own funeral.
People are saying that. Are they really? The internet. Is the black internet saying that?
Man, I've been engulfed in conspiracy on the internet for the last 2 days.
Just nonstop, go one after the other.
Everything. Bill
Cosby. Some of them are ridiculous. Some of them are fucking totally plausible.
Man, I hate everything about Bill Cosby right now.
God, it's so terrible. It's like,
I'm so upset that, how can you believe some things I don't understand.
Yeah.
Now the latest lady, and I know I got to make this a joke, because the lady said, Bill, I walked in and Bill gave me a pile of pills, and I freaking died. The fact that a pile of pills, it's a lot of things that I would do. If I walked in a room and it was crystal meth, heroin, crack, powder cocaine, weed, and a pile of pills.
Yeah.
on the table. The least one, the last one I would do is the freaking pile of pills. I'm not taking a pile of pills.
There's too much danger there.
I don't know what they are. Unmarked pills are way more dangerous than meth.
Like, what is this? serum. What is this? What's in here? I don't know what this is. Yeah, exactly. Weed is only going to be weed.
A pile of pills. Man, come on, lady. Somebody gave you. You walked in a room and Bill Cosby said, take those pills. And you did it. Okay. So then the other lady says that she quit William Morris and then she never sought legal action after that. And the man said, why? Because I thought Bill Cosby was going to seek out retaliation against me and my family. Who is Bill Cosby? is this not like you talking about John Gotti?
So you don't think he did any of it?
I don't know what he did, but the stories that I am listening to,
yeah,
you like even with
the Bill problem is there's going to be some. If there's 20 cases, that means there's going to be 25 people who say it happened, and those 5 people make the 20 sound real untrustworthy. like I don't know, there's some liars in here.
It's like the Ferguson, like with the guys got shot, Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all these witnesses come forth, but it may have been 3 that actually saw it.
Right, right, right.
Everybody else's story is shaky.
All these other tall tales.
It's like it's just shaky. It's like you want to be a part, like Beverly Johnson. I was okay into Beverly Johnson.
What did she say?
Beverly Johnson, her story was crazy. Beverly Johnson said that she sipped. She didn't want a cappuccino. Bill gave her a cappuccino. And she sipped the cappuccino and the room started spinning and she instantly became woozy.
Yeah.
So what did she do after that? She took another sip. And then her body collapsed and she knew she had been drugged.
Is that the one she got in a cab?
Yeah, this is.
She goes, you motherfucker.
Yeah. So when her body collapsed, what happened next? Bill motioned her. Oh, no, she said her body went limp. Bill motioned her over to her. Now, as a man, the word limp, when the word limp jumps out,
yeah.
I'm always notice the word limp because I've been limp before. And every man knows when something goes limp, you can't motion it to do anything.
Yeah, if it's limp.
It's limp. The story.
What do you think it all is then?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what
all these people coming now and then.
I don't know what that. What? Why would you come out and it's nothing that can happen?
Right. It's not about money now. There's no money coming to anybody.
There's no money. There's no jail time.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, what am I even bringing this up for? It's like.
You don't think it's about him fucking roofing people and just.
Everybody.
I don't mean nobody knows.
Because this is the weird. This is the weird thing.
Yeah.
When people say everybody deals with this in their own way. Okay, if everybody does it in their own way, why did 30 people do it all the same way? 30 people all withheld it the same way
until now, and it all popped out.
Until now, everybody deals with it the same way, but all 30.
But
people,
these didn't do it. The same
way. They all did it the same exact way.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, you know, I
knew. I don't know. When any of these things come, I'm like, come on, just tell me. Just tell me the truth.
If I ran into Bill, I would just ask. I would just be that ballsy, be like, hey, look, I don't want to believe everybody. I want to get it from the horse. I ain't going to tell nobody. I'm not an interviewer. Nothing's on me. I strip down naked, so you know I have no devices. Did you?
Just come on, just tell me. Just tell me. Whisper it in my ear.
And see, now the biggest...
Yeah, strip naked. I'm not recording this. This will never get out.
Let me tell you who the victim is in this, though.
Who?
Who I feel sorry about. Who I feel sorry for.
Felice Rashad.
No, Hugh Hefner.
Why Hugh Hefner?
Yeah, because Janice Dixon said that Bill drugged and raped her at the Playboy Mansion at 15. And Hugh Hefner was like, no, he didn't. He wasn't in my damn house at no 15.
No, don't drag me into this.
No,
I wasn't having underage girls in. No, don't even say that.
15, you crazy?
La 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 la. No, don't listen to Bill Cosby. He's a rapist. Don't listen to him. Yeah,
it's like Janice is crazy. She was not in my apartment at 15.
I bet there's been some underage girls in the Playboy Mansion.
Oh man,
has to be. If it's 18 is the line, There's plenty of 17-year-olds who look 18.
Man, would you? What would that be like if you was it? If it was an underage girl in the Playboy Mansion, would you?
Or I mean, if I knew she was underage, you know, I read this thing about how the real legal age for women should be 16, because sexually that's when they stop developing, whereas men stop developing at 18. So the fact that they're both 18 is just a law they made here for some reason.
The thing that I hate...
Canada's 16.
I hate my daughter knows how to read because I know she's eventually going to know that the law in Houston,
yeah,
the law in Texas, that 16 is the legal consenting age for sex. And out of the 50 states, only maybe 9 that the consenting age is 18. 16.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everything else is below?
Is below. Everything is 16 and 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It sucks. When you have a daughter, it's 16.
How old's your daughter?
My daughter is 16.
Fuck. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 41.
25, you had a kid?
Yeah.
That's too young. It's not crazy young, but it's...
That's right there, man.
Why? Because now you're an adult.
Like, I have young kids now, and I'm exhausted.
Mm.
It's like... You want to have them young,
yeah,
where you can do things with them. I think
the energy to still do it.
I think 25 is
maybe
right
you're right. There. Maybe you're right. That might be like, the right age. But I'm still doing shit.
Man, my best friend had his first kid at like 36.
Yeah.
And my godson is the oldest young person.
He's acts old because he acts like his father.
He wear glasses and everything.
That's rude.
He's like an old dude. He don't even need glasses down. Yet. You got new eyes. What's wrong with you? How are your new eyes weak?
Did you make like alliances in prison? Were there like, was it like Survivor or was it like an Oz kind of thing where it's like the blacks stick together, the Mexicans stick together, the Italians stick together?
It is like that, but you still have friends across lines.
You do? Why? Because you're stationed next to them at work and stuff?
You know, because there may be a cellmate, maybe at work, whatever. But it's definitely an odd thing when you're in a race war with people that you know.
And there are race wars that break out. Full race wars.
Full-fledged race
wars. What do they break out over? Like, what? Why?
I've been involved in maybe 3. One was a direct result of me, and then the other one I just happened to just be in because it was just...
Why? Why did you create a race war? Dude, that should be on your resume.
Race war?
What accents you can do... whether or not you started a race war, and then I don't know what else skills. Yeah. I guess you can drive.
Man, he started the race war.
Start a race war? He started it. What do you? I call race war.
No, it was like we was working. I was on this unit, Bill Clemens, and they have a boot factory.
Bill Clemens was the unit.
Yeah, it's called Bill Clemens Unit, and we worked in the boot factory.
Bill Clemens was.
No, he was some white guy. It was probably some oil guy in Texas.
Named Award after
factory. And the guy was cleaning.
Wait, hold on. Who are you making boots for?
The prison.
Make boots for the prison.
Yeah,
for the other prisoners?
Man, it was the industry, man. It's
cheap,
like,
labor. They don't have to buy boots. Labor.
They don't have to buy boots. You make them. And then you sell them. They sell them off. It's the whole industry. This guy was cleaning dust off a light fixture, off some light fixtures. That was his job. And we on the floor, and this bigger guys than me, way bigger guys than me, told him to get down with the dust.
What do you mean, get down with the stop?
Like, stop doing it. But they was talking to him really bad, and this is my exact sentence. Hey, man, just get down so they'll leave you alone.
You were talking to a black guy?
Talking to a white guy.
Okay.
This is my exact sentence.
Hey, man, just get down so I'll leave you alone.
The man said, what you gonna do? I said, what? Because I'm the smallest person. Everybody else said someone was bigger than me.
He didn't
say
anything.
Bigger than him. So he didn't say anything to them. And everybody knows, like, yo, man, that's kind of not the guy. They know I stab you or I could fight. I used to box and then martial arts and all that reckless stuff. But
reckless.
As soon as he got down... Man, it's like we started fighting. And so I was doing what they call a 3-punch combination. Yeah. And he slipped. And when I went to rock back, my foot slipped on a boot rack where you hang the boots at. And he's swinging wild. And he caught me on the bridge of my nose. Then I knocked him out. But my nose, you know, you get punched in the nose, it starts to swell. So now I have a black eye by the time my shift is over. I walk into the cafeteria, my eye is black, and the Muslim brothers ask me what happened.
Muslims are the blacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Black Muslim family in there asked me what happened. And I was like, yo, me and this white guy got into it. You know, I knocked him out. The fact that I had a black eye was too much.
They wanted revenge off that.
They was like, yo.
But you knocked him out. You already took care of it.
It's the fact of how it happened. That I said something simple, and it's like you were picking on me.
And he got his, though. He got knocked out.
Didn't matter.
Oh.
So one guy approached him and said, yo, why you picking on somebody smaller than you, X, Y, and Z? And then he tell the white guys, like, y'all not going to jump on him. And this is that. Then now all of a sudden, it's Aryan Nation gets called. Black Muslims get called. Now everybody's walking around with knives looking to stab each other.
Just looking for a chance to break in. No, wait, do they have like meetings and stuff? The Muslims have meetings? Like, how should we handle this? And while the Aryans are having their own meetings?
Everybody had a meeting. And the prison was on high alert because now it's whites against blacks.
Are there informants where the wardens kind of know, like, oh, some shit's about to go down because we know have people on the inside?
Because it's easy ways to know, like in the story.
Right.
You know by the sign. Like,
don't ruin any of the story. It's such a good story. Don't ruin any of it. You tell it so good. Don't even ruin it. But,
you know things by when you see certain, like, if I come on the rec yard and they see me with my jacket on.
Yeah.
They know it's a problem because why would I be out here with a jacket on in the summer? It's hot.
Right, summer in Texas. What do you have in there? You have something to stick somebody with?
Knife. No, man.
And the wardens don't be like, get over here. We know what you're doing. You think you're hilarious with a goddamn jacket on in the summer? Get over here.
They don't even bother. It's like they're not watching. Like, you got like 3,000 prisoners. You got maybe, 200 guards? You can't see everything.
Right.
And it's just such a weird thing. You will see something about to happen. Like, I can tell, man. I'm like, look at the white guys over there piling up. Because then when you see them not doing their normal things. Like, if I walk on the rec yard and I see no Mexicans playing handball.
Yeah.
No Mexicans playing handball.
When they love handball.
Yeah. That's like walking on the basketball, on the rec yard, and there are no black guys on the basketball court.
Something's, hold on.
Wait a minute.
Like what you say, no people checking out. If there's no people checking out, like, oh, there should be this. So what's up?
It should be something like, wait a minute. No black guys playing basketball. And I don't know why the guards don't notice that. They walk out and see no black guys playing basketball.
Yeah. It's a changes in the air.
What is it? Is Farrakhan on TV or something? What's going on? What's happening? That's the only time nobody's going. The Super Bowl would have to be on for us not to be on.
Everybody follow Farrakhan? Was there a lot of Farrakhan followers?
Man, I don't follow Farrakhan, but yeah, it was.
He was like, he had some decent ideas, but he had so much hate in his heart.
You know where he lost me at? This is where Farrakhan lost me. He lost me when they did the Million Man March.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see not one business open up in various communities after that. So I was like, this, because the amount of money that was collected at the Million Man March should have been the springboard to have banks and all type of self-sustaining things. Man, it's like, in other cultures, it's somewhere where you can go and get some type of financial support from your own kind.
Yeah, Jews are great at that. Supporting your own.
Sammy Davis Jr. was on to something. Every time I see him, like, hey.
If it's right. Ever like you can go to a dentist, one's Jewish, one's not, we'll be like, we'll support the Jew. We go out of our way to support our own.
I'm talking about full-fledged. And I respect that. How can you not respect that concept?
Yeah,
now, yeah. I don't have anything against your dental skills, but I'm just going to go here.
Yeah.
You may be an amazing dentist.
This one's good too, and that's good enough for me.
And this is good enough for me.
Yeah.
So why is it that we, like, people ask me about Russell Peters. Why is he so big? hey man, if I was the only, if it was like, if I was the only black comic,
yeah,
if it was five black comics, I would probably sell out Madison Square Garden as well.
And yeah, exactly. If you were the only black comic, man, if you were the only black comic, it was so good for you.
It's 3,000 black comics in one city. And how do you get selected out of that group? How do you make yourself different? How do you transform what people even think about you? Because as soon as they see that you're black, you already have a perception about you.
Yeah.
If I was white, you don't know what I am when you see me. So your perception is, you don't have a perception. You just, he's white and I'm going from there. And you can hide being something else, being white. You can hide, if you, any other skin color, you can hide. You can be, I know Spanish dudes who act white all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very few black people can pretend to be white. I mean, only like 0.01%. You know, just that one stone butch blue, just something where it's like no one could tell, but that's so rare. But there's plenty of Latinos that can blend in, some Jews that can blend in, like, a lot of Jews who can. Asians can't really blend in, but from the back they can. I don't know if they're walking away from you.
What's my thing? I've met at least four Jewish guys who say this. I'm like, you Jewish? Yeah, but not practicing. Man, how can you not be practicing to be Jew?
I
can tell what you are.
I can tell you're not practicing Italian. Come on, man. I can look at you. Yeah.
I'm not practicing. What does that mean? But, you know, how can you, you know, I don't like to be compared to anybody else. I think that I have a different mind, a different way of presenting something. And I think I blend in with pretty much any group of people, and that it wasn't always like that. Prison kind of make you a little more worldly, because you sit down and you have to listen. Because
you got to be there, you can't leave.
It, man, it's like you can't leave, and then you mix with so many different groups of people.
How did the race riot end? How do you end a race riot? How long did they last for?
No, it was like a week.
A week, and then like with the heads meet. Or something called truce.
Yeah, it was like, hey man, dude apologized for even getting, you know, upset about what I said. I still didn't understand what he was upset about, but he was like, yo man, I lost the fight.
Yeah,
you know, and you know,
can we stop this race riot over a fight you lost?
I think it was the fact that they took it offensive. It's like being a big brother. I'm your big brother. You get into a fight with somebody outside. And I find out it was behind, you know, something so simple. It's like, you wrong. Why did you even get into it with my brother?
Right.
Now I'm mad about that. So then that becomes a whole other thing, like a family feud, you know.
Oh, that's what it is when you get emotions involved and stuff. So you met a lot of people from like all over?
Yeah, all over the place.
There were people from different states there, or just different, Texas?
Different states, different backgrounds.
How do they decide where you go in prison?
You know, the thing about this, people travel all over the place from different places and commit crimes in other places and go to jail.
Oh, right. You know, so in New York, you're in Texas and whatever, get into a fight,
you kill somebody. No,
you're staying there.
You're just a dude from somewhere else, and you bring your scamming from Chicago to, you start scamming in Houston, and you end up in jail. Or, you know, because Texas is pretty big, so there's people from all over. You may be Austin, Dallas, you know, people migrate there, get arrested. So you may be in a prison with just anybody, you know, everybody's from everywhere, man.
Yeah,
a lot of Indian people, and it's a melting pot of criminals, is what I understand.
That's cool. So you get to choose who your cellmate is, or is
not
that just
all.
A sign? Never. You can't be like,
nah.
Because in college, you don't choose right away, but then after the first semester, then you can start choosing. Hey, next year, do you want to live with me?
It's like the first seminar, it's like, no, but they just put anybody in the cell with you, and now. The way to change that is probably you're gonna probably have to get into it with the person or the threat.
You fight with them so the wardens will separate you.
Yeah.
Or what?
Or make it so uncomfortable with a person or request to get moved. Because you can do that as well.
You can't request yourself, instead of having to fight with them, just be like, hey, look, warden, we're actually not saying eye to eye.
Nah.
We're both top bunk people.
They're like, nah, we did that. You know, we would have to do that for everybody. And you, it would, it has to be some imminent threat of something.
But then they move you out. Then they got to break up somebody else's cellmate situation. And they might be going fine.
They'll put you in the cell with somebody else.
Was there some of that? We're like, no, we're working out. We like each other. Yeah. It's actually a great situation. We clean every other day.
Yeah, man, I've gotten a cellmate. Man, that's a weird thing, man. Say if me and you don't know each other. Now I'm in the cell with you for like 8 months. And now I know you. I've been here for 8 months. And it becomes some sort of bond. So I'm kind of like really sad that you getting moved. Now they move you to, like, we say we own 7 building, they move you to 8 building. Now, when I see you, how do you miss somebody in prison that you still, so they're not going
anywhere. Can't be like, give them a hug.
No, you just see them, you like, damn, what's up, Ari? What's up, man? Everything going good? But now, what if something is happening to you? Like, you in an altercation with somebody, and you my friend.
Yeah, do you go defend him?
And like this guy named White Dog that I knew from another prison, he had he came to Torres unit. I know him off of Estelle unit. He got shipped to Torres, and he's kind of fragile little guy, tall, and some Spanish guys was talking about raping him. And I heard about it, and I sent word over there. I'm like, yo, anybody put their hand on White Dog, it's going to be a misunderstanding.
Oh, really?
And so the next day I went to the warden. I got him transferred over to the same side of the prison that we was on.
So you could look after him more?
No, just so he wouldn't be in that situation. Because that was a bad side of the prison that he was on.
Were there some units or buildings that were more rapey than others?
Yeah, it's certain sides. It's like when you come into, it's what they call the wild tanks. They call them gladiator tanks. You come to Gladiator, when you come on the Gladiator side of you, you have a laid back side, which most of these people are what they would consider convicts. Then you have people who are inmates. They separated like that realistically. So an inmate is a dude, he wild. He just got there, he's all over the place. He's probably just a bad actor. He's institutionalized. Then you have a convict dude who like, hey man, I got 30 years. I'm not finna do my 30 years hard.
You right, know, fighting all the time, I'm trying to get
more laid back. You know, I had 15, so I was doing my 15 a little different because I had older influences. So they was like, hey, man, just do it real simple. Think and you really learn about respect in prison.
Why? How?
Because
what do you mean?
Everything has a consequence in prison. It's not in society. You don't see and you don't really understand the consequences of everything because it's not something that you see on a consistent basis. Like, let me give you an example. What's the consequence of somebody in the street say, are you a bitch? What's that consequence?
But if they say I'm a bitch?
Yeah, if somebody really say that to you, what's the actual consequence to that?
Either I'll punch them or run away or just leave. It's one of those two.
Either punch
probably them. Leave. Probably leave. Probably just
most,
go, ugh.
Most likely leave.
Yeah.
Now,
unless you're right in my face, but otherwise, like, ugh, I'm just getting out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And does it matter how many people are around?
No.
It's either I'm going to leave. It can be, hey, either I'm going to leave. If you're right in my face, I'm going to punch you. Don't matter how many people are around. Because that's the consequence of that. Now in prison. Same Ari, same.
Yeah.
I call you a bitch. In prison, you're not walking away. You're not going to punch me. You're not going to do anything. What you're going to do is plot a way to make sure that you definitely put a situation where I never say that to you again. Whatever you think of, that's what you're going to do. You know why? Because you can't tolerate 300 other men calling you a bitch.
Right. And they're all going to start doing it.
And the consequences are different. So in the street, I may walk away or I may punch you. In prison, totally different consequence. I got to put you close to death as I can possibly get you without killing you.
All right.
That has to be the consequence.
Why not killing you? Because people have respect for human life?
No,
because
I want to get out. If I can kill you without everybody seeing, that's a bonus.
Oh, but if you're killing and they see you, then you're going to jail in front for of everybody, longer.
I'd rather hit you in your head or stab you to make a point. It ain't about you. It's about everybody else in this prison. If you disrespect me,
yeah,
these are the consequences. So that's how a lot of people never get out.
Oh.
It's a friend of mine. You already know his name. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
But he came with 4 years.
Who? How do I know his name?
In 1979. He came there with 4 years.
Yeah.
Got into a riot that he wasn't even involved in, got stabbed, came back and killed the Mexican who stabbed him because I wasn't even in this riot. They gave him a life sentence.
Oh, so for 4 years to staying forever.
And then he got mad about the life sentence and just start killing Mexicans.
All Mexicans.
Yeah, because he was so mad about the riot. So they gave him 4 years. He got 4 more murders. He's never coming home.
Wow.
After going in prison in 1979 with 4 years.
He should have been in 83. Probably 82 or 81, probably. Man,
he should have been out in 80 with 4 years. You're supposed to do a minimum of like 4 or 5 months. And you, depending on when he went, he should have been out in 80.
Be out in 80 and instead he's still there.
Yeah.
34 years later after that. 35 years later. Fuck.
I met him in 1995.
Really? God.
I was born in 1973.
Yeah, I'm 74. Fuck.
That's how you end up going to
That's how they turn you into fucking violent.
Just like when I read this story in the paper, I do a lot of reading. They had it in Philadelphia, it was a cash scandal for kids.
Yeah.
You had a judge sentencing juveniles to juvenile prison. Behind minor offenses, like hollering at a principal.
And they were sending them to juvie?
Yeah, because they were getting paid money.
Oh, for the juvie hall to run well. Yeah. We need more people.
So
we need more business.
How do you put me in this violent environment, and then you expect me to come out same? Like one of the craziest things, like you never know what people like about you. Bill Burr called me. He was like, hey, man, I watch you on the internet. Do a joke that I thought was...
In where?
Bill Burr.
On stage?
Yeah, on stage. I was at the Improv. So I watched you do a joke, and I thought this was the best joke I ever seen because you were so honest it's about me being in prison and how now, still to this day, the effects of being in prison. I didn't get the... Like, when most people talk to me, they have no clue
that
I was in prison for 6 years. They was like, oh, he doesn't have that type of demeanor. But the other side effects of that... But still to this day, I've been trying it for years. I cannot go to the restroom without going in the restroom and turning on the water.
Why?
Because I need to hear some type of noise. Being in a restroom just silent, it's not going to happen.
Why?
Because in prison, it's always loud. People are always making noise. And say I'm in a dorm. And it's like a dorm room full of toilets and sinks in the shower. Yeah. So you sitting right there. So this is you actually on the toilet sitting there. People in prison have no respect for your space to this point. You sitting there using the restroom, I would walk up and start a whole conversation with you.
As I'm shitting?
Yes.
Man, talked about a captive audience. How are you going to be like, oh, I got to go, man. I can't really.
I'm like, I would sit up and like, yo, all right. Look, man, what do you think about... And you like you
while you're
like,
shitting, like you don't want to smell this, dude.
You're like, are you serious? But it's 24 toilets. It's not like you're the only person on the toilet anyway.
Right.
It's every other toilet is probably somebody.
There's no stalls. There's no like privacy for them.
Nah.
No
if way. If you in a cell with me, you on the toilet. I'm in there too. I'm your cellmate.
So you gotta shit in front of your and like smell it up for your cellmate. Were there any rules to that? Like unwritten rules? Like don't shit right before going to sleep,
like,
man.
Like when you use restroom, turn this way. I'm turning this way. I'm not gonna be looking.
But how about
right
just the smell
you.
Of the dump?
That's just a part of prison.
Oh.
It's like I'm gonna be sitting like that. You use the restroom, and I'm talking over. To you like this. Man, what we gonna do once we get out of here? Are you like? don't know, man. It's like it happens. It's like
Was there a lot of that talk of what you're gonna do when you get out?
Oh yeah, man.
Dreaming of tomorrow.
Yeah. What are you gonna do when you get out? And I know if you were in prison from 1992 to 1997, and you met me, I know right now you're kicking yourself in the ass because I said it.
What did you say? You're going to be a comic?
I told him.
Really?
I told him because
that's, man, cool.
I had nothing else, man. It was like,
had you already started doing it, or you just like?
Yeah, I started in there. It's like,
you started in there?
Yeah, people didn't realize I was like.
What do you mean?
Hilarious in prison.
What do you mean? But on one on one, you didn't start like on front.
No, like say you in a day room and everybody's in the day room, and most of the time, people would used to. Man, I had this weird. Man, I was really weird in prison. Man, I had this thing where I thought I could help everybody change. In there, because if I was going to change, I needed some more people around me to change too. So I used to wake up and come out and say, hey, I don't know what everybody's mad about. No one's going home today anyway. Because people used to be pissed. Like, why are you thinking about going home? It's going to mess your whole day up, man. Just get over that.
You're not going home.
We enjoy this day. We live here. Let's find things to do here to occupy our time and be creative, because this is all we had. So I would just, man, I hated the Cowboys. So
really? I'm a Cowboys fan.
You a Cowboy fan?
Yeah.
Man, oh.
Who do you like? Just hate the Cowboys.
Everybody but the
that's
Patriots
how I am with the
and
Lakers.
The Cowboys.
That's how I am with the Lakers.
Oh, man. I didn't.
Why? Because you're an Oilers fan.
Did you always hate the Lakers? I have a theory about
it. No, this. Just when I moved out here. I hate them a little bit, but the way they ruin comedy shows every playoffs, where no one, all these fair weather fans, like, we got to watch the Lakers. And it's like, you don't even care.
Man, this, I think Kobe made people hate the Lakers.
Sure, he's unlikable as fuck.
Man, I had to go back
with
in my
Shaquille,
life.
Shaquille, you kind of hate the Lakers, they're good, but they were still lovable.
Man, I love Shaquille.
Yeah,
I
with Kobe, it's like, fuck you, you pompous prick.
Because I don't even, because you ever said something and you didn't realize, like, that doesn't really make sense in my life.
Yeah.
If I hate the Lakers, but my favorite basketball player is James Worthy, that's dumb.
Right.
It's like, how does that work? And I know I love James Worthy, and I will argue with anybody on the planet, the best basketball player of all times.
James Worthy?
Magic Johnson.
Oh. Why?
I would argue with anybody.
Why do you think Magic Johnson?
Because he could play. If he
could play center and point guard and everything in between.
All five positions.
Yeah.
Who else won a championship coming straight out of college?
Right.
He plays center.
Yeah.
If I'm starting a team, I know people say Jordan. I know they do. But if I'm starting a team,
I wonder how much Magic got his other players into the game, because that's a lot of it too. Not just assists, but about like keeping everyone active. Like, a lot of times when Rondo is just dribbling around, you just see Paul Pierce. He runs all the way through a cut, comes all the way in the edge, and he's open, and Rondo looks at him and just keeps dribbling. He's like, how am I going to run all the way around that pick next time when I'm not even at the ball?
Magic is the Magic, man. And, like, I hate when people say, Allen Iverson is the best little man of all time. So you never watch Isaiah Thomas play?
Right. Isaiah was slow and good.
Isaiah Thomas was fantastic, man.
He got left off that dream team.
Yeah.
He was the only one that was like, why isn't he on there?
Yeah, that was.
There was some sort of like political shit, or some people didn't like him or something.
Yeah, but.
Something like that.
But he was great, man. He was a great player.
I hated Jordan. He always played against my teams and they always got calls. He'd grab people's arms and they wouldn't call it because he was Jordan. But I don't hate him nearly as much as fucking Kobe, that rapist Kobe. Fuck him.
You know, That's a weird thing. Kobe didn't get as much craziness.
But that was pretty much like a given. Like, he was like, yeah, I mean, I paid her off. It went away after he paid her. And then
Kobe, man, like.
They had that billboard, the TBS billboard, because it was on TV or TNT, whatever basketball was on. And it just showed him during that time. And it said Judgment Day.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's in poor taste. Because he'll never see Judgment Day.
And it just went away.
It went away. A lot of shit goes away.
Yeah.
I think that's what Cosby's hoping, but then it'll keep piling on. It'll go away, though. It will.
I think it was going away until somebody said he said meme me. And
you said what?
Meme me, like put, make a meme. I don't, you know, what
Cosby said that.
Yeah, that's what they say. He said, I don't know.
Make a meme, and then it started. He said, it's also different. Every couple of years, the technology gets even further. That it's like shit doesn't get swept under the rug. You know, shits are all too big. Was there a smell of prison in general?
Yeah, smell like the gas, C4 gas.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they do. Certain prisons smell different.
Why do they put C4 gas in?
That's when you're in a riot. Like, you riot so much and people so wild that they just gas the...
just keep them lull.
Keep it gas. And then they switch the gas from that to, like, this pepper gas to make you throw up.
During the riots?
Yeah.
Oh.
But people were wild, man. Prison. But it's a weird thing that I hate it. And I despise prison.
Yeah.
And the whole concept of being locked up. But it shaped me to be able to be a really free thinker.
Yeah, I was talking to this my friend where it's like, you know, bad situations aren't good. But then when you look back, you're like, I'm happy with the person I am now. And part of that's because of this negative situation I went through. But then it's still like, I wouldn't want, just because I discovered this author while my leg was broken doesn't mean I wanted my leg shattered, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, that wasn't fun.
I don't want anybody to go to prison. And because I really became a... Like, I'm fearless on stage because I was performing in front of people that really didn't have anything to laugh about.
Right.
So I say whatever, and people say, well, DL said this about me. He's like, you're not scared of the silence
right.
of an audience. Nah.
When? After seeing you at that show? Or some other time?
Yeah, period. Right. Like, I used to be with him on the road a lot.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, man, I just watch you, and you really not scared of
the silence. Yeah, you're so cool being so slow and, like, methodical, and it's like, I'm setting this up. It's just, like, interesting. I'm telling you, it's not just the details of the story. You told it good, in a good way.
I used to be in prison, and I was in solitary. I'll never forget this. And this is why I try my best to really... keep my lustful desires to myself. You know, I have weird tastes with women, and it's certain things that I like. And in prison, I cracked.
What?
I wrote a guard a note, and I just wanted. I didn't know it wasn't nothing gonna happen. I just wanted to get it off my chest. I couldn't hold it no more.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to tell her how attractive I thought she was. And it was like, this lady was like 65.
Really?
And she had like the fattest ass. But it was like, it's an illusion because you're in prison. You would never look at this woman if you weren't in prison, but this is the only woman that's there. And you see her every day. And she's like the guard to the library. And I walk past it every day. And I just found this lady so appealing. So I wrote this note. And I slid on this thing. And I should have known, once again, I should have known fucking something was up when they asked everybody to sign a piece of paper and then they looked at all the goddamn handwriting signatures. And saw it was mine. So I'm in solitary confinement for that. And I'm literally in here, and this is when I knew that something, I'm a different, I was in the room by myself and I was acting.
Go away.
I was acting out like whole scenes of my life, and I'm playing all the people, and I'm doing, and I'm literally, I'm so engulfed in this.
What do you mean? How long were you in there for? Before you get to that,
like for 4 weeks.
4 weeks of no one.
And no one. And I. This is the craziest thing that I think I've ever done in life. I drew a chessboard on a piece of paper, and I made all the pieces, and I labeled all the pieces. And I sent a board to a dude 3 doors down from me through the trustee. And we were just calling out chess moves under the door.
Yeah.
Because it's like your mind, what your mind can do when you have time. Like when I take time to actually write out a set, the first time I do it, it's like I'm doing it like it's polished. Because I took the time to actually sit there and manifest the jokes without anybody else being there, without saying.
So you make a board too and you both keep track, like Battleship?
Yeah, we going back and forth. I'm like, punk, because it's numbered. You know, most chess is numbered. So when we're doing, we just going, and I'm playing chess with this guy because we have nothing else to do.
But you can talk out of
under consulting. Under like the door.
So would you try to do that to fill your time, even just talk to people?
Yeah. Or just talk to
did
yourself.
Did you go crazy in solitary? Was mm-hmm. it what?
Crazy is when you actually think that these people are you, are not you that you're talking to. I know that these people are me. I was just so engulfed and trapped and just not being, not going crazy in here. I'm doing stuff not to go crazy to occupy my time.
Right.
Like when you start doing push-ups and you go, okay, I'm gonna do 10 push-ups. Okay, that's not good enough. I've done that enough. So now I'm going to do 10 push-ups, and that's going to be one. And I'm going to do 10 sets of 10 to just make one. Now it's really 100 push-ups, but it's only 10. You start playing these tricks in your head to make it through this situation.
Did you know when night was and when morning was?
Nah.
Nothing. So you wake up, do you have a watch or anything in that point?
Nothing.
So you have no idea what time, what day it is?
No sense of time, what day it is.
It could be a week, it could be a month, it could be 2 days.
You've been in here 7 days. You've been in here.
You know how many days?
You know how many days?
How? By the meals they give you?
No, you right. You scratching that down.
But how do you know when the new day comes?
You just know that you've been in here. Oh, when they feed you breakfast.
Okay.
I had to think about, yeah, when breakfast come, you know, that's another day.
Cool.
You know, so
you know how long your sentence was to begin with?
Yeah, you go
over saying I think you're hot.
Yeah, you wrote a note. It's like you solicit. It's damn near like terrorism.
Like, how do you define it?
What else is your? What else were you going to do if this note happened? You know, if we wouldn't have found this note. What else would you have done? Man, that lady was.
What else would you have done? I wrote the note. It wasn't like I was hiding it. I wrote it and sent it to her.
I mean, and that's when
65 year old.
I learned about attraction in prison.
Why?
You're never
because you're into what you're into.
You it's not. It's more about how people treat you.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're on the road with somebody, because I'm quite sure you've been a feature for somebody before, on the road with somebody. Say if you are making $300, but you can go on the road with somebody else and make $1,000, but that $1,000 is.
What?
It's hard. It's not the same amenities. Because now, the $1,000, you have to fly yourself, get your own hotel
room.
Pay for your own meal, get yourself
there's no
room.
Steak, there's Subway.
Now, this $300, I'm going to take care of your flight. I'm going to make sure your hotel
is the same. Packed cool crowd. Yeah, exactly. When Rogan, I was on the road with Joe Rogan, it was always like that. I was like, I'm living 5 stars. We're only eating steak.
Yeah, and I'm
everything's
doing,
on the hand, on the arm.
Yeah, I'm treating you, and so I can accept $300 when you're treating me well.
Yeah,
but
what?
You know,
when you're not, $500's not even close to enough.
The $1,000 it's $1,000, but it's a rough $1,000.
Yeah,
I'd rather say I'm gonna go back on the road with Ari. I'm cool, man.
Yeah, good enough for now. Leave it alone. Yeah, exactly. I don't want your more money.
I don't want your more money.
That's why comics never get day jobs. They're like, but you can make $1,000 a week. You make $52,000 a year. You're making $8,000 a year now. It's like, yeah, but I sleep pretty late.
Yeah, man.
I don't think it's worth the extra 40.
You're going to actually tell me what to do?
Yeah.
All the time? Oh, nah. Ah.
Damn, 4 weeks in solitary confinement. That's funny about the chessboards.
Yeah, it was. I did a lot of weird, interesting things in prison, which you would.
What do you mean, like what?
Like just everything. How you just discover fire. You have a pencil. I want some fire. I want to light a cigarette or light some trees or whatever. So you have no lighter. So how do you do it? You take, and this is being an electrician and understanding what conducts heat. So you take lead, and you take a piece of lead out of a pencil, and you twist toilet paper around it, long piece of toilet paper, and you go to the plug socket. Take the lead, hit the plug socket. It's going to spark and light the paper on fire. Then you have fire.
Wow.
No way in the world I would have even thought about that.
No.
You know how people make tattoo ink?
How?
You get a brown paper bag. This is how I've seen it done. Brown paper bag, and it's out of the soot from the plastic. So you ever burned a plastic spoon, and then the black stuff comes from the spoon? Uh-huh. So you burn that, and you catch all of that smoke
in the paper bag.
In the paper bag. You open the bag and you take a razor and you scrape all of that soot down and you put it into like a little bottle cap and you put a little bit of water and you keep adding water to it. It's like a little pasty thing. So you take that and you let it sit and it becomes ink. It becomes like ink, and that's what they tattoo with. And the color, and the color is the what you take off the M&M. Like you take an M&M, put in just a little bit of water. Take an M&M, put in a cap, a little bit of water, and roll it around, and the color will come off.
Right.
And then it's just sitting there in the water, and you take that color and use that color to paint. And
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Survival, man.
Will they stay, those tattoos?
Yeah, a lot of that stuff stay. It's up under your skin. And how it's you like make
degenerate
your,
MacGyver.
How you make your needle, mostly out of staples or safety pins or any type of needle, something like that.
Was the food okay? What was the food like?
Food is horrible.
Really?
Yeah, food is horrible.
Was it like that slop that they kind of show in movies and stuff?
It's you know, you have cooks in there, you have decent food, but when you don't eat meat, you don't eat pork and things like this, you just end up eating beans and corn and rice and, you know, stuff like that.
Bean and corn and rice, yeah. Fucking cafeteria food. Like, what the fuck is that?
Like me and this Jewish guy used to really be odd. I was like, hey, even if they do serve us something that, like chicken or something, we still can't eat it.
Why?
And he's like,
oh, because it's like, kosher. It's not kosher.
It's not kosher. And he's like, it's not allowed. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's like we used to be in the same boat.
Yeah, he still can't get it.
Still can't get it.
You could get weed in there?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
I didn't do it, but...
I mean, how was it done?
Through various ways. Mostly through the guards.
Yeah.
And through anal traction.
Really?
Yeah, that was...
Hiding up your ass?
That's the worst way people do it, man. That's... worse.
You ever hit something up your ass?
Nah.
I mean,
I didn't smoke or do anything in there. I kept it really clean in there because I wanted to stay focused, man. And there, you really, people who were caught up in there, I'm like, how do you think that you're going to go to the world and become anything else when you in here messing up and being a
at the
part,
lowest level?
Yeah, it's like, man, I didn't want to be institutionalized, so I never wanted to be a part of.
What do you mean by institutionalized? Like be a part of this thing forever, forward.
What's odd? It used to be this show called Cops.
Uh huh.
And on Cops, I never forget it. White guy, cops come into a diner, and this white guy's in there, and he says this. The cops talking to him. He said, "Boss, I don't know problems, boss." Then you know how they always go to the cut to it, the cop doing his commentary. And the cop said, "Well, I knew he had been to prison because he used the word boss, and that's a prison term." Uh-huh. So when I was there, I never wanted to pick up any of that terminology
or that lingo get into you
for people. Like I never got any tattoos when I was in prison. None of that, because I never wanted to be...
Why do I want to feel like you belong there?
I didn't belong. I didn't want to... Like, even the guards used to make fun of me because I never would respond to this thing they call chow time. That's when you go eat.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. They would call... The officer would open the door and just yell out, "Chow time!" And that shit used to piss me off.
Why?
Because I was like, yo, I'm not cattle, man. I used to say this all the time. So the guard used to be like this, "Chow time." "Oh, for Ali, lunch, Mr. Proper here." And then I like, because I used to work in, I was a fire safety clerk.
Wouldn't be the worst just to say lunch. It wouldn't bother them that much. But lunchtime, breakfast.
Yeah, but
hey, you guys, dinner served.
Anything to make you feel like an animal.
Right.
Anything to make you feel like an animal.
Was there like animosity from guard to inmate?
Yes, and amongst a lot of the guards, but some guards had a great understanding. Like, man, I got family members that's locked up. You know, I never forget this.
Some guards do?
Yeah, this white guy told me I was on the wind unit, and I woke up and he was sitting down outside of my cell because I don't know, a guy always wanted to talk to me. He's like, "Man, you know the difference between me and you?" I said, "You white and tall?" And he's like, "You got caught and I didn't." Say, man, I used to do meth. I used to run meth. And
this is in prison? Oh, the warden.
One of the guards. Yeah. One of the jailers. And he's like, I just stopped before I got caught. A lot of my friends were getting busted, and you know, I just stopped. That's the only difference between me and you. That's why he had a different concept of how he dealt with.
Why? How was he? Prisoners. What was he like?
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
More human?
Yeah, but like, hey, man, you know, these are things that we have to do. This is my job. You know, and these are things that you had to do. He just talked to you different. And some people had that mentality, you know, I'm the boss, I'm coming. You know, it's like cops, man. A lot of cops were bullied or picked on or not really tough guys. Then they became cops. And now they're in the street, they have an authority. So they enforce however they want to force. You know, just like a guy like me. I know I wasn't a handsome guy in high school. Yeah. But you know, I look better than I looked in high school, and now I talk to women that I was in high school with a lot different. Like, yeah, you're fat now, and you're gross.
Times
and
have changed.
And hey, I'm stunning, and you're not. You know, it happens. So,
was there any violence against the guards?
Yeah, it's a guard named Mitchell. I wanted to kill him,
but really? You wanted to kill him.
Like if.
Lights out.
On my children's life.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for a guy named Alameen and a guy named Mustafa, this conversation probably would never happen, because I felt so violated by this individual that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because it was unwarranted what he was asking for. And he was trying to embarrass me. And he was trying to strip me naked in the hallway for no apparent reason other than the fact that he didn't like me. And I felt offended. And I'm like, I gave him a serious warning. I said, Mitchell, if you continue this animosity with me,
yeah,
you may not go home from this prison one day. And that's on my mom's life. And I gave him that warning the day he tried to strip me down in the hallway. And then I caught him. I had found the way that this unit was built on the other side of the cafeteria. It was it's building 4, which was closed custody. And I happened to be coming by, and I saw that Mitchell was on the gate at building 4. It's a gate that between building 4 and the rest of the building where they have to open it, and it's locked down.
Yeah.
So I knew that he was on that building, on that gate, and I was trying to figure out a way to get over there without being seen. And it just wasn't coming to me. And then this guy had got, he had went to court and he got a sentence that he had to go to close custody.
Solitary.
So when he was leaving, he had to pack his stuff and he had a white bucket. And I was like, hey, where you going? He's like, I'm going to 4 building. And I said, well, let me carry your mattress. Let me help you. And I asked the guard, could I help him carry his stuff? And he's like, yeah. I went and got my knife, and I had the mattress over my shoulder, and I left. And I was going to kill Mitchell. Because I know once he let him in that gate, when I rolled his stuff in, when I came back out, it was going to be nobody but me and Mitchell at that gate. And I wasn't concerned about somebody finding out that I did it.
You're like, fuck, I'm sick of punishment.
I was going to prove the point.
You just wanted to do it.
To get him to understand. You can't mess with everybody.
Kill him to get him to understand.
Like you understand. No, I just wanted to stab him up a little bit. Just to get him to understand.
I love that term.
When somebody tell you something, you have to respect what they're saying. So, man, you ever want to do something so bad that you were so cool? I could taste it. Coming around the corner. And I see him, and he does not see me. Oh. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be perfect. And literally, I come around that corner, and Mustafa and Alameen they come around the corner as soon as he opened the gate and call my name. And I turn around, and I turn back, and Mitchell see me, and he slams the gate and tells me to drop the mattress and told me to go back, talking about the dude don't need no help. And I knew if he would have saw me, he wouldn't have opened the gate to let the dude through.
If he
hadn't. That's why I had the mattress like this. When they called my name, it alerted him.
He was paying attention.
He saw me. And I was like, But it was enough. The fear in Mitchell's eyes when he saw me and he slammed that gate.
He thought you were going to do something to him?
No, he knew it. He knew when he saw me. Because there's no other reason for me to be over there. This gate is a very dangerous gate because it's only you. And it's inmates coming back and forth. So if somebody got something out for you, this is the gate that they're going to hit you at.
Right.
Mitchell knew it. And the fear, and he, from that point on, he never messed with me again while I was on that prison. And I was like, and every time I used to see him, I used to just shake my head like.
You regret not getting your chance?
And he just looked at me like, I know. And Alameen and Mustafa saved his life. And that was, and really.
Why did they say your name? On purpose to stop you from doing that?
They knew.
What are you doing?
They knew what I was doing.
Like, hey, hey.
Because once we got back to the block, I said, man, how y'all knew I was even over there? He said, they told us when they saw you roll out that bucket. Because we, it was like, yo, where I live? He said, he just helped somebody move the four building. And they was like, Mitchell on that gate.
And they knew right there because they saw the stripping.
Because I promised him.
Wow.
And everybody knew in prison.
And you would have stayed there a lot longer.
I would have stayed there forever. It's certain things about, and I think that's the one thing that I think that police and elders and administrators and government don't understand. Amongst African-American males, the respect factor is bigger than anything. Because you are so disrespected that you're not going to let somebody take the little respect that you get.
When I used to work the door here, it was like a problem a lot of times with black guys when you ask to check their ID. Like, yo, you don't think I'm I'm like, man, I just check everyone's ID. I don't see the problem.
It's this. So you don't believe what the fuck I'm telling you?
Believe you? No, like, they tell us we have to check IDs. What? Why are we turning this into, are you calling me a liar? I'm just supposed to check everyone's ID.
Yeah, because you don't.
God.
Not you don't, but people don't understand that this man had been called a liar so much that something that small, like how you don't fucking believe? Because I found myself, so ma'am, I literally have to show you my ID to buy some Backwoods cigars. Look at me, ma'am. He's like,
yeah,
I need your ID. And I was in Oakland. I never forget. I was in Oakland in California. I can really be nasty with words sometimes. The lady said, I wanted to buy some Backwoods. She said, I had to check your ID. I said, for what? She said, this is the policy of Walmart. If you don't look over 40, they have to check your ID to buy some cracker products. I said, that's dumb. I said, how old do you have to be?
Yeah, not look.
To buy tobacco products. I said, 18. But you, if I don't look over 40, you have to check. Do I look over 18 is the what I'm asking you.
No, man. But if you look over 18 and be 17, then it's a problem.
I was like,
but you're not. You don't look 17. They're like, come on, if I'm 30, that's good enough.
I'm like, but do I look over 18? If I don't give a damn how old, if you walk up to me and you look like you look right now, mm-hmm. and the policy is that you, because I would have never thought you was 40.
Right.
And I'm thinking 29. But if it's 18 to buy something, you don't look 40.
But you don't look 18.
But you don't look 17, younger than 18 either. So what's the logic in this? And I said to the lady, I said, that's why you always be a cashier and never a manager.
Oh.
Because you can't make a logical decision in your head.
It's policy. Shut up, policy. Use your head. You're an individual. Policy? Are you disrespecting me in my face over policy?
So you would rather lose a customer over the ridiculous policy. Like, why do you have to have money? Why do you have to have your ID to deposit money?
To deposit? Yeah, show me your ID. Why? What, am I going to put something in someone else's account? Let me. I don't know who would have a problem with me putting money into their account.
Wells Fargo.
Where is the robbery, Wells Fargo? Who am I? I would like to put $50 in Ari's account.
How do we know you're him? You don't. But so what? How is this going to affect anyone's the negative?
It's my account.
Yeah.
Why can I not put money...
Put money in.
In your Chase account.
To get it back out. If you just put $50 in, like, I want that back out, then they'd be like, I need your ID now. It's like, fine. Not when you're putting it in. That's dumb.
Some things, man.
I have trouble with authority. Whenever a security guard goes, write your name down before I go upstairs, I just write a fake name. It's just like, why? Why do you have to know my name? I'm going upstairs. I'm going to sign in with you. Tell me what floor it is. I'm going upstairs. Sign. If you're not checking my ID, then what? If I'm going to go kill somebody, I'm going to write my real name. I can't get over that. I wrote my name down. I guess I won't do it.
Do you know the worst thing in the world is to have it? This is what I do know. Everybody in the world has had a temporary ID at some point in their life.
Yeah.
So if you have a job now and you know that temporary IDs exist, so you TABC or you airport security, whatever, if I come to you with the temporary ID, why are you asking me what is this? Right. It's a fucking temporary ID.
You know what it is. You've worked here. You've gotten them before.
Sir, did you just ask me, do I have another ID?
Why would I give you that?
Why would I give you the temporary ID if I had
another
ID? Give
you a piece of paper
ID?
If I could give you an actual ID.
Even if your driver's license is expired or you lose it, they give you a temporary driver's license. No, you never go into a place and come out with a hard driver's license. What state they do that at? I would love to go there. To go to the DMV and walk out with a hard license.
No, they send you one later, right?
They send you one later everywhere. So why is a grown person acting like this is a foreign piece of paper that's never been seen before? If it's not official, why did the employee write her signature? I had to sign.
Yeah.
It says temporary. Let me tell you when this is not valid. When it's not valid, sir... When the expiration date on it says temporarily,
it's valid for a month.
Not valid.
It's after this date. It's valid for a month. It says right on there, valid.
So what the fuck are we doing, sir? Why are we having this conversation? Like, some things, man, it's not rocket science. It's just.
Yeah. How much rape was there in prison? Like, was it a situation?
Not a lot.
Was it something you had to worry about all the time?
Not at all. You have what they have, which I hate to say it, 1993, really early 94, they got rid of protective custody.
Protective custody?
Yeah, so people who, they would mostly be like homosexual people or whatever that would be in these particular situations. They put everybody in general population. So that took rape out of it right there.
Because the gay guys are like, well, I'd love to fuck. So
it's gay guys everywhere. So why would you? And I think that's not fair, man. I don't think that gay guys should be thrown in prison with straight guys.
Why?
Because where's the punishment?
That was not fair to the straight guys. I gotta do hard time and they're living on easy street.
Yeah,
fucking all sorts of hard like roughnecks.
It's like throwing me in a female prison and think that I want to come home. I'm parole. I'm in a female prison.
That's funny. Did the gay guys get raped? Or were they just like, nah, I love to want to fuck? It's like, that's hilarious.
They were getting married, not raped. They were getting married.
Were there punks or no?
Yeah.
That was a thing?
There's a lot of...
Damn.
Marriages.
Forced marriage?
No.
Just marriages in there?
Gay dude been with another dude long, and then he settles.
I guess I'm going to be with you from now on.
Hey, we here. It was weird.
Like married couples? Would they be roommates?
Yeah.
They were married couples?
Be cellmates.
They would try to get transferred in together?
Yeah.
Could you tell that to the warden? Like, listen, we've been dating for like a year now. We'd like to move in together.
Nah, you can't say that.
Then they would never move in together.
You would just have to figure it out.
Was it were the cell doors? Was it the bars or was it the glass?
Some units had bars and then some had like metal doors, was like a like mesh wire and a little glass thing.
So there's any privacy? Could you put stuff up over like the towels over to have some privacy?
You can put a towel over, but they'll come make you take it down.
As soon as they see it, they'll be like, take that down.
Not as soon as they see it, but when they come by, but some units, like if you on what they call a convict unit, where it's like a lot of older people, old school cats, you got a lot more leeway than on a younger unit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Convicts.
People are like, all right, they're here. Don't worry, they're not doing anything.
They understand how this works.
They might get some weed, but who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
What, man, did you stay in touch with any of you? Did you make like long term friends in there at all?
Yeah, I did, but once you get out, you know, life starts to happen, but a lot of the guys who I was friends with, like maybe like five guys, I'm still friends with them now. A lot of them out doing well for themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So most of the guys, those few years we had together.
Yeah, a lot of dudes. Man, I had a real thing. You had to go to school. You had to be kind of like a productive dude.
That's good. That's good. They make you take classes, or at least help you take classes if you want to. Like, why just rot here for 3 years?
The classes are there. You have those are things that you would have to want to do for yourself to better yourself. It's no. You could just be a dude that's just in there, just being a knucklehead,
just waiting 6 years to pass.
End up doing your whole 15 because it's not necessary that you gonna come out. You sentenced to 15 years, you get time for good behavior and other stuff. That's how I end up coming home in 6.
Wow!
But if I would have been down there being a super knucklehead, then I'd have did the whole 15.
What do you mean by knucklehead? Violent?
Yeah, violent, tripping, do gambling. You know, just doing gambling. The same stuff you do in the streets. Gambling is hilarious. Everybody gambles.
What do they gamble? Cigarettes? What do they gamble? Money?
Soups, coffee.
Soups?
Yeah, like ramen noodle soups.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's gold.
Oh, ramen. Really?
That's like college, man. It's gold.
So you can have some, and then later, in between meals, you're like, I want some ramen soup. And you can boil yourself some soup and water and make some?
Yeah.
Could you boil water in your cell?
Yeah.
You could?
Mm-hmm. You had to buy a hot pot or a stinger.
What's a stinger?
A stinger is a little metal thing that you
put. Oh, they put it in, that boils it? Yeah.
But it's crazy, if you really know what you're doing, that's the most important thing in your cell is your toilet. You got to keep your toilet super clean. You got to keep your toilet super, super clean.
Why? Got it by the warden or by you?
That's the largest thing that you can hold water in. So what you would do is, like, say it's different kind of spreads. It's what they call a spread. Different kind of spread. You got hot spread, cold spread. A hot spread is like you could buy like chili and beef and like canned beef and stuff like that. You put it in the toilet and you would put the stink in there and you would boil all the stuff in the cans.
In the cans,
yeah.
In the toilets. You boil the toilet water.
Yeah.
Cook from the toilets.
Yeah, but they're not touching the food because the food is in the can.
In the can.
And so you open the can and everything's in hot and you pour it in.
Who cares what's on the outside? Did you wipe off the top before you take off the top? You wipe the water off.
Yeah, but
the toilet
your toilet is so clean, man. You keep
You drink out of it?
Nah, no, you keep your toilet extremely clean.
That's the bacteria place.
Yeah,
if you don't.
It's like your toilet is almost sacred.
Wow.
Your toilet is literally sacred. You wipe it off every time you use it. You make sure you you have things like powdered bleach and soap.
How do you get that?
Oh, man, it's ways.
Did you earn money doing the jobs you do?
Nah.
Nothing. So how would you get any commerce? I can see training, but you need something to start a trade with.
Hey, you got talent. You start trade with talent. Or somebody.
What does that mean?
Like, you got, like, the Spanish dude, man. Noe, man. Noe was the best.
Noe, I love that name.
Noe was the best artist, man. Like, say you take a napkin, like a handkerchief, and you want to make a portrait. You want to put a portrait on the handkerchief. So he'd sketch it out with pencil, then he'd come back and draw it in ink, and then he would color it in.
Yeah.
He would shade it in, so you had this big portrait of something. You would send that home to somebody, and you know he would charge you maybe 4 soups to make that, or you know, an envelope, or somebody wants you to take something to somebody else. Like, that was my thing. I was a transporter, which is bad because that's what I end up.
For
delivery.
I'm good at it. I'm just not getting caught.
Say if you selling cigarettes, and you and somebody owe you a bag of coffee. He bought 10 cigarettes from you and he owe you 3 bags of coffee. But he's on the other end because people move around.
Yeah.
So he owe you, but he left. He's down on the other end. So how do you get that coffee? A SSI, which is a guy who has a broom who sweeps, goes around sweeping. So what you would do was you would send me you would talk to me and say, yo, Lee, XYZ down there owe me 3 bags of coffee. Can you bring it down here for me? And I'll pay you, you know,
some beans.
I'll pay you whatever. You right. know, what you would charge me for that? 2-3 bags of coffee, that's $15. I'm going to charge you $2 to bring the 15 down here.
Sometimes, if they ever charge too high a price, you're like, nah, I'll get it from somebody else. Would there be free market where you're like, that's too high a price, I'll find another way to get
most
it?
Most of the time, man, it's only 2 ways to get something done. And the price probably going to be basically the same. Right. Like, if I'm an SSI and I'm the only SSI on the block, how bad you want it?
Right.
You want it now?
And would the price go up depending on like how bad?
Do you want it now or do you want to wait till later where you might... See, everything is based on opportunity. So you don't have time to haggle with me about this price because how else are you going to get this coffee? I may be the only SSI that you even know.
Yeah.
So I may be the only SSI that you even know. So now... We negotiating? We had this conversation twice. Oh, the price.
Yeah, you're gonna come back. You're gonna come back. It's like, okay, it turns out I'm gonna take your price. No fucking way. Now you gotta give a bag.
Now you gotta give me a bag of coffee because you should have took the first deal.
Oh.
Because now what I'm gonna sell it as is harder now because it's the officer down there that don't like me. So now I gotta go. Now I gotta try to finagle past him.
What happens if you go find an SSI? Say I'll give you 3 cigarettes if you can give me this. A bag of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, fine. So you give him 3 cigarettes up top, or when you on delivery.
Say you trying to you trying to get the cigarettes to somebody, or are you trying to get them?
No, I'm the SSI.
Okay,
you're trying to get this bag of coffee. I'll say I'll go get you that bag of coffee from over that building. But yeah. You gotta give me 3 cigarettes.
Yeah, I need the 3 cigarettes on delivery.
On delivery. So I get nothing until I bring that shit.
Yeah, nothing.
Now what happens if I go get the bag of coffee from him
and I get busted?
Yeah, and before I get it back to you, somebody grabs it.
I get busted. I owe you that.
I would then, as the SSI, I would owe you a bag of coffee.
I took the chance. I owe you because now, unless I see you get caught with that bag of coffee.
You stole it.
You stole it.
Right.
So it's
otherwise, you would never believe anything. They're always just like, oh, guess what? Another shipment went missing.
Yeah, another.
You're hard luck.
And in prison. Shipments can't come up missing. You got right. Either you got to pay for it.
So you're taking that risk. That's why I get those 3 cigarettes. It's for the risk I'm taking.
Yeah. Yep.
Because if they find you transporting, they're like, we're just going to confiscate that. You can't just say, no, I just have a bag of coffee in my bag. I'm allowed in my cart.
They're going to either take the coffee and they'll give me a case. They give me a case for it, like a delivery case.
A what?
A delivery case. I have an in prison delivery case. I would have to go to court.
Go to court?
Yeah, and they would either lower
for delivering coffee. You're like, that's not even illegal.
Not even illegal.
I'm just helping someone.
But it's trade and thing because now I can be extorting you.
Oh,
where did I get the coffee from? Art gave me the coffee. Now they come down to talk to you about the coffee. What you gonna say that you was buying cigarettes?
No. I don't know anything about the coffee. He was going to get it from him. I said I'd give it to him.
And then
over coffee. You're like, man, I just like to wake up in the morning. I'm not doing anything, man. I was going to give him some cigarettes because I like to wake up early in the morning with some caffeine.
Nah, man. He got it.
Where did the coffee come from, though?
Commissary.
But how would you get the money to buy it at commissary?
Somebody sent you some money on you. They put it on your books.
On your books?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, on your books?
Well, say you locked up and you have a number, and on that number they know if somebody goes down and they send some money to you.
Yeah.
And so they put it under your
account.
Like you have an account.
So then you go to a commissary and buy money with your account money.
So they go in and they say, well, Ari has $60, and you make out a list of things that you can buy, but you can only spend $60 in a month.
But they wouldn't give you actual money because then you just get robbed for that immediately.
But see, food. Actual money, a bag of coffee is serious in prison. That's one of the most, that's very expensive.
Really?
That's stamps, in coffee is big. Stamps, because that's what you need to write home in order to get more money.
Oh, right.
Coffee is a necessity in prison.
Why?
Because you need it.
To drink it, you mean?
Yeah, you need it.
Really?
Yeah, you need it.
I don't drink coffee. I would drink it in there.
You would drink it in there. I don't drink coffee either, but I drink it in there.
Yeah.
It's like your only high. It's your only everything. Coffee is big, man. Coffee, it's a lot of... I know if somebody, how bad somebody wants you stabbed or killed or hurt by the number of coffees that's on your head.
Like, if you stab him, I'll give you 7 bags of coffee.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're going to get stabbed.
If there's 7 bags of coffee in your head, you're going to get stabbed.
If it's 7 bags of coffee.
For real, that's that.
All right. You're sitting there looking at me like you. If it's 7 bags of coffee on your head, you're stabbed.
For sure. There's no like, we'll see if somebody takes that price.
Shit, no. You are stabbed. You stabbed by somebody who usually don't even stab people.
You're like, 7 bags? God damn. Of course I'll stab.
Hell yeah, you'll have to stab.
Wow. What's a bag of coffee? Just like a thing you get from Starbucks? Like a bag?
Like a bag of coffee where you can make like maybe 30 cups of coffee out of a bag.
Wow.
30 cups of coffee in prison.
So 7 bags. That's 6 months worth of coffee.
You are stabbed. Are you know how stabbed you are?
Very stabbed.
You are very goddamn stabbed multiple times.
What's like a normal price for someone's head? Some people don't really know one way or the other. So no one be afraid of them, but no one would want to kill them.
It depends on what it is. Like, say if somebody wants you. If somebody puts 7 bags of coffee on you, they want you stabbed. They want you to go to intensive care. They want you stapled up. They want you hurt bad. And if they put a hit on you, period.
2 bags? What if somebody put a bag? Would that get somebody stabbed?
They just want you beat up.
Right.
But anytime coffee is involved, whatever that ransom is about, we just want somebody slapped.
Yeah.
2 bags of coffee. You're getting slapped.
All right. That's an easy price. Of course I'll do that for that.
Of course. What?
And then those people that you slap, they see you drinking your coffee, and you're just like, hi, how you doing? It's no hard feelings, right? I love this coffee. Do you ever give somebody some coffee you got off slapping them? Like, I had to beat you up, but come on, come get a bag of coffee. Come get some. I'll give you a cup.
I'll give you a cup of coffee.
Yeah, man, that's the least I could do.
When I look back on it, I had to think of how important smart. Damn. It's like I'm saying it, but 7 bags of coffee, man, is a lot. Damn, I would stab you.
Yeah.
And I don't even drink coffee like that. I'm like, yeah, he stabbed.
How did you avoid bringing the violence into the real world? Or did you not avoid it?
I did not avoid it.
You got violent when you got out.
I'm way mellow now.
Yeah, you're an old dog now.
Yeah, but I still got a lot of fight.
You got out when you were 25?
Yeah.
That's still pretty rowdy and rambunctious. That's a rowdy age.
I had a lot of fights in comedy clubs.
Oh, really?
And I had a lot of fights. Cause
you know Miss Pat?
Yeah, I know Miss Pat.
She gets like that too.
This is what my problem was. I didn't understand disrespect.
Ball busting is different than disrespect.
Like, I didn't understand why would somebody say something about me, or why, like, if somebody's talking about you, I'm not involved in the conversation. Like, I'm not even gonna be seen in the circle. If it's four people talking about you, I'm not going to stand there and say, well, let it be known, Ali was in that conversation. No, Ali wasn't.
You just leave. Now, you won't even say, like, well, I wasn't saying anything. You'll just leave the conversation.
I'm not in that.
Right.
And if somebody says, well, I said something, like, I'm not built like this. Like, if I said somebody said something about you, you would never have to ask me who the person was. I would tell you from the beginning.
Right.
Such and such said this, because I don't want you to have to ask me who said it, and I'm not going to say, well, that's not my business.
No, why would you even bring it up?
Because if it wasn't your business, why would you bring it up?
Yeah.
And if
somebody said something about who?
If somebody said
it. Say it all or say nothing.
Say it all or don't say. Because in prison, you can't say that somebody said something. You can't be involved in anybody else's business. Because, man, I've seen a lot of people stabbed for being in somebody else's.
Just being nosy?
Being
gossipy?
Being in the conversation? Being having a response about something.
Yeah, bring this up.
You're having a response about something. So Texas Syndicate, which is a very powerful.
What is that?
Gang okay. in prison. It's called Texas Syndicate. Syndicate. Very powerful, very dangerous gang. And it filters over into the street. So you can't be having a conversation, being a conversation about the capo in Texas Syndicate and think that something's not going to happen. Why are you even in the conversation? Stay clear of that conversation if you're not involved in it, if you're not about that life. Because in this prison, everybody's about proving what they say they're going to do. Right. Everybody's. So I didn't see the difference between prison and the world. I thought that you were supposed to not say anything about me if you don't know me.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a code of respect. You're not supposed to talk to me in a certain way. You're not supposed to be in a man's business. You're not supposed to.
How do you learn all this the first day? Does anybody teach you? Like, hey, here's like, just so you know.
No, these are the things that you learn over the cook, because you see things happen to people and you're like.
So what, do you just keep quiet early on while you're trying to learn all the ins and outs of how you should act?
It's like being at a job. When you first get to a job, you don't know the people.
Are these Cokes for everybody? Can we all just take Cokes? Yeah. Just wait. Like, you look.
You kind of be like, let me see, you know. Yeah. So when you come home, you thinking, well, it's the same. It's right. A code of respect. It's a level of, and then you find out like, damn. The world has a very low scale of respect than in prison.
Right.
Because of what, back to what we said in the beginning, you can see the consequences. I know the consequences of saying something about Ari in a conversation that's not true in prison. Ari decides, hey, I'm going to stab everybody who was in the conversation talking about me.
Jesus Christ.
Now, in the free society,
yeah,
that doesn't happen. Somebody
no, says, they're just like, what the fuck, man? Why are you talking shit about me? That's as much as it'll get to.
And
it'll be awkward.
People don't do investigations. Like, if somebody says something about you in the streets, it's automatically true. Court of public opinion. It's automatically true. In prison, not so, hey, such and such, how you know?
Right. How do you know what? That he said something about
anything.
Oh, right.
Ari stole some coffee.
How do you know that?
How you know that?
They don't take your word for it.
Ain't nobody taking your
word. Oh, out here in LA, especially, people go, oh, wow, really? And then that's just gossip. It starts.
And if I know you and I don't know this person. Ari, this person right here said X, Y, and Z about you. Oh, man, I didn't do that. Consequences.
Right.
Because you're saying something about my friend and you putting business in the street, because this type of business can get you hurt in prison.
So you have to take care of that. You have to stop people from doing that?
It's no, you have no, what is it, what is, man used to tell me, in here, there's no room for mistakes. No room. Everything is well thought out. You can't live in your feelings. You can't live in an, it's no emotion in here.
Yeah.
If something you can get killed right next to me, blood on me, and the cop come and ask me what happened, I don't know.
Really? You wouldn't be able to like say like, this guy, fuck this guy, he killed my friend?
I don't.
I'm gonna just gonna
sir, tell. You have blood on your shirt. Do you need this shirt as evidence? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
No matter what.
You were right there. Right where?
Otherwise, what? You're just going to get stabbed. Somebody's going to fuck with you.
Somebody's going to stab me. And it's different when they send 3 or 4 or 5 people to stab you. But it's different. Man, I done seen people send 3 people to stab one person.
And what does that do? Make sure they die?
It's like a pin cushion. The person just doing this. And it's...
They just stick, stick, stick. 5 people, stick,
and
stick, stick.
And he's literally looking at... I'm looking at you like this. And this is what my body's doing.
As
3 people stab me, I'm looking right in your face, and there's nothing you can do. You seeing it, leave me. You seeing it. You're like, there's no life in his body anymore. They just stabbing him.
Stabbing until it's gone.
He's
it's just like this, like, yeah. And you just like, you watching me fade. He's like, boom, he's out of there. And it happens like that because somebody decided they wanted to say something about somebody. That so now, when you see that, and that's what Fuck. You grew up around, you in the street, you don't understand somebody saying something about somebody. Like, yo, what are those consequences? Because it's some, or it may be none. I just didn't understand. I didn't understand the low level of respect.
So when you got out and people would say something about you, then you would go to just beat them up, stab them.
Man, I had a lot of fights, and being able, because in my mind, I'm like, it's not fair because I'm coming out of prison. I just finished fighting yesterday.
Like, you're in shape.
Like, when the last time you had an actual fight? I know that for 6 minutes, I can fight you 6 minutes without even getting tired.
Without gassing?
I'm not even tired.
It's a long round.
I'm coming from a place where that's the average. The average is 6 minutes of fighting before you even...
Wow.
So it's like, you condition to be one way. So it took a... It still takes... For me to think before
violent,
and even with the transition between being in mainstream rooms, guys are like in black comedy clubs. Nobody ever tells you how much they're getting paid. Like it's like never. Nobody even ever asks you. So I started playing mainstream rooms, and guys are like, "Hey man, what's it paying you?"
Yeah, I always tell people,
and I was like. And I used to take it offensive, like, what you mean what they paying me? Why you asking? Why are you in my business? And
it's their business. They just want to know, like, what's kind of the range? I want to ask a bunch of people what they make so I can tell the range of what to ask for when I find myself in this position in the future. Yeah. That's all they're asking you. They don't care about you. They care about themselves.
And I don't. And
yeah, what do you make? Because I could make that. Yeah, that's all.
Not even
and you're like,
on
what
that
the fuck are you talking about? Why you care? Oh, it's not even about that.
It's like, hey, dude. I'm like,
it's not even that serious.
So it's like that.
Wow. Were there times you were allowed to go to the bathroom and times you weren't, or just whenever you wanted?
You can go to the bathroom whenever you want.
Okay. To. Damn, that'd be sucky. So now you went to your parole hearing when they said it was when the one you got said, okay, you're good.
Man, I got that in a letter.
They just sent a letter to your dorm room.
The first time I got a parole hearing, it was, man, you get excited. You like, oh man, I'm going to see all these people. I'm gonna go see the people. I'm gonna be on my best behavior. I'm gonna have a good record.
You wear a suit?
You just got your prison clothes on.
All right.
So you like, okay, I'm gonna go in here. I'm gonna try to make a good impression. They gonna look and see it. I've been doing everything, man. I've been to cognitive intervention class. I've been to drug class. I've been to school. I did all these things.
They're definitely gonna let me go for sure. How could they not?
And then they go in there and they state your case. They ask you a question.
Who's that? How many people?
Like
what's the parole board? Three people.
Three. And they ask.
They look bored.
They look like they hate you.
Skeptical. They don't. And, right. You're wearing prison clothes. How are you convincing me you're not a prisoner?
And so you like . So then you wait for the answer.
Right there?
No, you wait. They tell you they'll let you know something in a couple weeks. Now you waiting. And so what they do is they send you the answer in mail call. So when people get in letters, they call your name and you go up there, you hear your name, and they give you the slip of paper.
Yeah.
You never open that paper right then. You always take the paper to your bunk.
Why?
And you, because you don't want to open it and be like, oh, I'm going home, and nobody else is going home.
Nobody's happy. That's right. That's just nice. Plus, if you're all disappointed, they're like, look at that fucking asshole, all disappointed in front of everybody. Weak.
So you go to your cell and you sit there in private. You don't want nobody.
You tell
to
your
know.
Cellmate.
You don't tell nobody.
Not even him. Nothing. He's nobody's happy for you.
You open it, and I'm thinking I made the best impression of all times. I open it, and it says 2 years set off.
2 years what?
A 2 year set off, meaning they sit in your case to the side for 2 years. They're not going to view your case for two more
years. So at least two more years you're not getting out.
And you thought that the parole board was going
to
come back.
You were about to walk.
Hey, you know, we're going to let you out. You know, X, Y, and Z, we're going to put you on parole. You get a 2 year set off, and you You just like your face, you just sit there like this, like,
oh no, I can't even make a case for 2 years. I can't even say, like,
hey,
let me show you some new evidence. In 6 months, I can't even be like, listen, I've been even better. I broke up a fight. 2 years, you won't even, like, oh, Santa doesn't even wait that long.
They not even.
Even Santa makes a 1 year list.
Man, they not even looking at your file for 2 years, and you know it, and you just like,
oh, this no.
sucks. But they say 2 years, so you have hope. Now 2 years come. You don't even see them. They just send you another thing.
Letter without you making a case again.
We reviewed your case and we're going to send you to a pre-release unit for a year and a half.
Oh my God. I mean, I guess for 15 years, it's still like better, but like a pre-release unit, what's that mean?
So you're at the pre-release unit, so you can stay here. For a year, they gave you a definite date now that you're getting out.
Yeah.
Once you get there, you stay there for about a couple of months, and then they give you a definite date. You're like, oh, I'm going home October 21st, 1997. So you there, so you know the date, and it's easy because on a pre-release, everybody has a date that they're going home.
Everyone, do you move to a different?
You went to a whole different prison.
Whole different prison. So you say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah.
How long do you have to go after they send you that letter, after you open it, till you have to leave?
Like, you don't know. They just, you'll be asleep, and they just call you. Hey, Ari, you going on the chain tonight? You're like, chain where?
The chain.
Yeah, meaning
back to like
the chain,
shackles.
Back to being shackled, on the bus.
Even and then you just leave, they'll take you somewhere else.
Yeah, take you somewhere else. Yeah.
Did they use... I want to get back to this parole feeling, but did they use, I read this on some website, that they would use threats of sending people to a more rapey prison as a way to keep people online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't do this, we're going to send you to this place. You're everybody knows that max. Place. Where?
They tell you they're going to send you to a max.
Oh.
Like, you come from a lower level prison or medium security, then the threat is to send you to
a max. And that's a whole nother game, and you don't want to be part of it.
The max prison... is the easiest way to explain it. It's like you have a from 1 to 10. Say you can get killed from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Minimum security, probably a 1 is a 2.
Odds of getting killed.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
2. Medium, probably like a 4 or 5. Max, 13.
It's just always on guard at all times.
You literally can get killed all the time. Literally. All the time. Different people, various races, different shapes, sizes, colors, everything.
There ever things where it's like, this isn't even a thing? Like, do you ever like get up from eating and then as you get up, you hit some, they drop their tray as they're walking by you and then we're like, oh fuck, are we in a thing now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like things like that. Like, yes. Just an accident, man. Yeah. I'll make it up to you.
Even words. Like me. This could be a thing. This is a real thing. This is one of the realest things that happened. Because I acted on this.
Yeah.
Because it was said. When we play dominoes, no sexual, homosexual slurs, any... what people call a come on game. Like they'll see if how far they can go with you before they approach you with something. Like if somebody, like this is the worst thing, to invite a man to your penis. Like this is a actual come on game. Say, are you like it in your mouth? That's the come on game.
And then I have to either stop you right there or you're going
to
go.
You have to say something right then. Like what?
Shut
like
your fucking
like,
face.
Like what in my mouth? Like give me like your whole
that's
presence.
That's what you have to say? What are you talking about? Do I like what in my mouth?
Yeah, like your whole presence have to get very
serious?
Aggressive. Like what? Like a knife going through your mouth? Like what? Like what would I like in my mouth? prime example. Remember on Goodfellas?
Yeah.
With Joey, the
am I a clown to you?
Yeah, with Joey. But yeah, if I'm a clown, that's how prison is.
What do you mean I make you laugh? What is that supposed to mean? The guy's like,
that's how
what?
You. That's no, prison.
I was just making a joke because I thought all the guys would get a good kick out of it.
That's how that become. That's prison. That's every prison.
On a drop of a dime, you got to be like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? Like, wow.
Because you said something that could be perceived.
If it's funny, you think you're going to laugh when I'm beating your fucking ass in, when I'm putting your face in your...
That's how you have to become. Just at the drop of a hat. Like, we playing dominoes, and you call, and somebody called.
Can't be like,
10.
Suck my dick, take that.
What? Somebody so can't say this, because it's a come on game. 10? It's very subtle. You have to watch what somebody's saying to you. Say you call 5. And then somebody say 10 inches in your back. Say they call it 10, but they saying 10 inches in your back. 10 inches of what in my back? Back where? Back what? Like that's the come on game. And everybody else heard it when he said 10 inches in your back.
So they look like, how's he going
to
handle
everybody
this?
Everybody like, all right, what you about to say?
Because if I don't say anything, then it's just game on me?
It's game on you. And game on you becomes from words to physical.
People start pushing.
No, people start touching you. Like they trying to see how far they can go with you. So a dude just come up and touch your ass.
If I don't fucking, all right.
If you let somebody touch your ass in prison, you might as well just fucking bend over and open it.
They're just gonna fuck you.
Yeah. You, if somebody touch you, at that point, it becomes serious at that. It's no wait. It's right there. When that happens, the address is right then. If you're my friend and I know that you're not that type of person, say if I know that you getting ready to go home.
Yeah.
And it's more important that you go home than being involved. Somebody touch on your ass, I handle it. And it's going to be handled right then.
Like you go just grab the guy and smash his head?
No, it's whatever I'm going to do, it's going to be handled right then. And I'm like, yo.
So I can get out of here
safely.
I'm like,
yo, you go home, I'm going to handle this. Because you, man.
So at least, even if I'm not going to say something, someone will say something for me. Someone will take care of
it. One of your friends.
Right. Which means I'm just as powerful as if I do it myself.
Yeah, and because you're a part of a crew.
Right.
And it's like, nah,
does everyone try to crew up?
Huh?
Does everyone try to crew up?
Yeah, everybody try to crew up. Because it's like, where you from? Like, where you originally from?
Maryland,
Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, D.C.
So you come in and you say you from D.C. I'm from D.C. You with me. Out of Mac. We both from D.C. We homeboys. Matter you white, whatever. That's my man from D.C.
Wow.
That's my people. And you ain't finna run through nobody from D.C. because I'm representing D.C. And now you represent me because I'm from D.C. Like, I was from Houston. And then it depends on what side of Houston you from. It's like you come,
right.
Everybody's from Houston. And then I say, well, I'm from the south side of Houston. And so everybody on the south side, somebody know you. Everybody know you. So you south side. So nobody's going to let nobody mess with you. Like, yo.
But the north siders don't like you?
Nah, you just, that's a part of Houston. You know, right. But north side and south side never agree. I don't know what that's about. That's some corny nonsense.
It's funny how when you're in the city, you have fights over different parts of the city or different parts of the state. But then when you're outside the city, you're like, oh, Houston.
Yeah,
what do you mean? You hated that guy last week when you were both in Houston.
Yeah. Like, I hate Dallas until I see somebody, you know.
Until you're both in Greece and you're like, you're from Texas? I'm from Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it happens.
That's funny. So you get so you go to a halfway or a prison. What did you call it? On your way to release?
Yeah, middle. That dog it.
Preparation, release prep. What do they say? I don't know.
A pre-release.
Pre-release.
Yeah.
It's like iTunes CDs. It's pre-sales. So then your mom gets excited you're coming home. Do you start getting excited? Like,
I didn't get excited.
Because you weren't out.
Wasn't out.
That's how I am with any TV shit or anything. Like, it's on, I'll get excited.
You know, I almost went back. This is when I wrote the letter to the lady at the pre-release.
And you had your 4 weeks of solitary while you were on your way out.
On the pre-release. It was crazy. You ever been in school suspension?
Yeah, you got to sit there in a room.
Yeah.
Just like, this, send me home.
It was like, it's like in school suspension. Because people who knew you, who know you, it's like somebody know that you are in this room, and every blue moon, once a day, somebody just walk by and say,
Ari, hold your head up, baby. they know where you at. They know that you. And so when people come out to play basketball, they know that that's a solitary building. So they
can hear through it.
And they just holler your name out just because they know you back there.
That probably makes you feel good, right?
Yeah, because you'll be sleeping, then all of a sudden, Ali, it's real, baby. You were like, they didn't forget.
Because
at least somebody know that you back there.
Right.
Somebody know that you back there.
That's important, right?
And when you
was just locked in a trunk.
It's the funniest. The funniest thing is when you come from back there, everybody knows that you just like they looking at you because you look like you've been
frazzled. Did your skin get light and your eyes? Are you like, you're squinty when you get out? Fucking hurts.
You coming out of solitary, you got a beard, your head not cut. You looking like, look at this crazy person. Where they coming from?
So, how do you get haircuts? You can get whenever you want, or what's the deal?
No, you get it's a barbershop in there, or it's.
Can you go whenever you want? Can you grow your hair long?
You have to get a pass. No, you can't grow your hair long.
Can't grow your hair long?
Nah, not in Texas.
But they tell you it's time to go get your hair cut.
Mm-hmm. They'll see you get your hair cut.
Can you get your own style? Can you say, I'd like kind of a comb over here?
Yeah, it's minimal. You know, they give you a choice of like two haircuts. You want the buzz or you want like the fade. Shaped up.
All right.
But if you have a fade or any stuff like that, that means that somebody cut your hair.
Oh.
Which is the best haircut that I've ever had in the world. Is with just a comb, and you know the razors, like you would shave your face, they would break the big razor open, and they would adjust the razor on the comb, and they would cut your hair with the comb and the razor.
That's trusting.
Man, best haircut I ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
In prison. By some guy who's not even a barber, or he is now.
And most of them became barbers.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get your experience? Well, listen, let's not talk about that. Just know that I cut a hell of a hair. And you don't have to worry about me because I don't want to do anything illegal anymore.
Nothing.
So, okay. Then you're in this pre-release. What's the day you get out? Describe that.
October the 21st. Man, you get out, which is hard.
Do you know you're getting out on the 20th? You know you're getting out the 21st?
No, I'm getting out. Everybody knows that I'm getting out.
How?
Because I've already... Let everybody know.
Wait, they've said the 21st, you will be out the 21st.
Yeah, because I'm packing my stuff up now.
Okay.
And I'm giving things away to people.
That you're not going to need. Like one of those hot plate things. Like, who wants this?
I don't need a stinger.
Right.
I don't need a hot pot. I don't need any of this stuff. So I'm giving all this stuff away. And I'm getting ready to go. And it's the weirdest thing that I was so helpful to people in prison that it was people that wouldn't come to say bye. Why? They were too emotional.
Oh.
They was like, yo, man. It's like I was, especially the older guys. The older guys really were like it was like watching their son go home.
Really?
And it's like, yo, man, the kid is leaving.
I saw you for 2-3 years.
It was like the whole thing. Everybody was like, months. Yo, man, the kid is about to leave. Cause I was like, I was like a really fun dude. I was like everybody's son. Cause I was young. I was like one of the youngest dudes there. And they watched me grow up, basically. And I took a lot of these principles from these older guys who never really wanted anybody to make mistakes. Like, yo, man, I ruined myself in the streets. You don't do that. You know, like I felt it would have been very disappointing if I would have ever returned back to prison.
Really?
They had so much expectations for me. It's like I was the one. Like if this kid makes it, I feel like I did something because I was a direct influence. And a lot of them guys.
Goodwill Hunting.
You know, a lot of these guys protected me from things. They protected me from myself.
Protect you from yourself? Oh, yeah. Like those guys who said, like, get out of here. Man,
I had to be protected from myself a lot because of this spirit of I'm not going to let nobody step on me or let somebody say something out of line to me. It's like, man, some of this stuff you could walk away from.
Were there things you could just, like, nobody cares?
Some things, like, some things were my own attitude. Like I would have a bad day.
Like out of it's like somebody a year you wouldn't have a bad set, then you have a bad set and people can't believe it that you having a bad set. It was like that. It's like most of the time I'm even keeled, but today something triggered me. Like I would think about my sister passed away, or I would think, you know, that my mom is out, you know, and I'm not there. It would be once a year I would have some sort of breakdown with today I'm not in no fun mood. And people would know, they're like, man, like most of my fights were on that day that something was wrong. And or something I couldn't tolerate.
Yeah.
And it was just that day that you like, man, the one of the happiest guys today was the day that he wasn't as friendly or wasn't, you know, didn't want to be bothered. And sometimes people knew.
People knew, like, what that was.
You know, like it would be like, hey, they're like, hey, man, cool out today. You know, it's one of them days. Or they would talk, hey, man, you know, kind of like, man, today we need you. We can't, you don't need a bad day today. We need you today. The Cowboys playing. We need somebody who going to hate them full throttle hate. You know, sometimes people would help me, you know, be that funny person. Sometimes I go into a rant on stage and somebody will say something that breaks the monotony, and I appreciate them.
Yeah, like, cool, you got me jump started. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Man, I'm glad you said that. You know, because they snapped me back to what I was supposed to be doing. Because sometimes as artists, we get so caught up in trying to be, get our point across, we forget that we're supposed to be entertaining people.
Right. Preachy. That's what Bill Hicks always did. I was like, where's the jokes, bro?
And you get caught up in your own.
Yeah, you think you're fucking Mao Zedong and have all these great ideas, and you're like, just fucking make some jokes, asshole.
Hey, even in my great ideas, it's a line of silliness in it.
Yeah.
But I think that because I'm more hopeful than I have solutions for the problems. I'm just more hopeful that we are.
Can't we all just get along? Yeah, it's like, how? I don't know how, but can't we?
How? Do you think it's possible, though? You know, if you don't know how to do it, but do you think it's possible?
Yeah.
You know, hell no, it ain't possible. So something like that.
So October 21st.
I'm out. And
you go with whatever clothes you have left or whatever it is.
Man, my aunt actually sends me. My sister was in the military, so her husband, they sent me some combat boots, and they were new, and I had some slacks, and I had this weird shirt that was way too busy for me.
Yeah.
It had, like, stripes in it. And
did they give you back an envelope of stuff you checked in with? Is that a real thing?
Nah, they gave me. What did they give me?
Your watch and your fucking, that shit. Is it anything like that? You get it back?
I did have some corny little something I got locked up with. No, I didn't, because my mom had came and got all my stuff.
Okay.
That's right. My mom came and got all my stuff from the county. But they had gave me an envelope, and you know, they give you $100 when you first get out, and then you get your other $100 once you report to the parole office. So, man, I'm at this store. They drop you off at the store. You cash your check. They tell you good luck.
What store? In town somewhere?
It's a still corny store that's right at the bus stop where they tell
rural Houston.
The bus is gonna pick you up. No, I'm in.
They give you a bus ticket or not even?
Yeah, you have a bus ticket.
And $100.
$100 bus ticket. And I'm in this town, I'm in this small town. I gotta ride the bus at least 2.5 hours to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Greyhound and I got this bag and all this stuff. So I buy maybe some chips and a soda and some gum. And I'm on the bus. I literally just have my mom's address because she's moved. And I don't really know where this place is at. So I get on the bus and I'm just freaked out. Like, are they going to come back and get me? What is this? So I'm on this bus and then I get to Houston. I get dropped off at the Greyhound. Houston's changed. I make my way to my mom's house that I think that's my mom's house. I've been waiting by this door for maybe 6 hours. I went to the door. I left.
You wouldn't knock on the door?
I knocked on the door several times.
Oh.
But nobody was home. I'm thinking, well, maybe she's not at home for work yet. So I'm going back and forth. Now it's nighttime. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I don't know what happened. I said, well, I'm going to just try to call. Walked around, found the payphone, called my mom. Mom's like, yo, where you at? I've been looking for you. I know you got out today. Where you at? I'm like, yo, I've been waiting in your apartments since I got in. She said, nah, I've been home all day waiting on you. I'm like, can't be. I'm literally in the apartments. This is my mom's apartment. I'm in the apartments that's in front of her apartments. Same address. So I think everything. The apartments look identical. So I don't know that they're not the same. There's another. They got two different names. She walks on the streets. My mom greets me. Oh, I finally see my mom after a long time. Oh, man.
She didn't come visit you in prison?
I didn't want her to. She came to see me one time when I came to like this spot called Hondu in San Antonio, right outside San Antonio. I never wanted my mom to see me caged up. So I used to tell her, don't come see me. So then when she did see me, she's like, you so big. And I'm like, nah, just muscle, not really big. Uh-huh. And she's like, man, you look kind of like a prisoner. You look like a mean person. Because I couldn't turn it off. When I went to visit her that time, my face was still prison-like.
Hard.
I couldn't smile. It was like, this is my smile. She was like, well, you ain't happy to see me? Like, yeah. Because it's still other prisoners visiting their people, and I'm not showing no weakness. I'm not showing I care about nothing.
Yeah.
Like, because it sucks the life out you. It really changes who you are. So when I'm home that first day, I just kept going to the refrigerator because I could open it and nobody was saying nothing. I could reach in there and get whatever.
That was your freedom
thing? I didn't have to make it. I was like, I didn't really want to watch TV. I went outside. I walked around a lot. I just kept going outside. Her apartment wasn't big enough. Right. A house. I could have been in a mansion, and it wouldn't have been big enough. I needed to be outside to know that I could. I didn't really even like wanting to be in the apartments because the apartments had a gate around it.
Oh, so you wanted to get out of those gates?
We'll just walk outside the gate, and I'll just walk. I just want to be free.
How long did that last for?
Still to this day.
You just like to? I mean, I like to walk around, but it ain't because of that.
I just like to be free. It's even in relationships. I don't like to be trapped in.
Yeah, I
like to be. The best relationship is something where I can be free to know that it's my decision, and I don't have to do anything. I want to do it because, you know, I feel like that. I think like that. I think about it. But once the day that you make it an obligation for me to do it, now you're confining me to something. Like, bless you.
Sorry. I had a girlfriend that I broke up. I was feeling too trapped. I broke up. And she was pretty cool. She was like, well, can we go see the movie anyway? Like, we were going to go see that movie that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, okay. Friends, that's fine. And then we ended up having sex that night. And then we just kept going out. But just knowing that I could leave whenever I wanted made it so much nicer.
Yeah.
Made it so much more fun and like, cool, I don't have to be here. So, all right, I can just leave. I already did the breakup, so it's fine.
It's like, it's different.
Did you ever allow yourself or could you ever or did you ever cry in prison? Were there private places you could go to get that done?
And I think I broke. And it was like, you ever had one of them quick, hard, silent cries until you just wipe your face afterwards and you feel better? One time I was thinking about my sister. And then one time I think I was just really tired of being there, man. I was getting to the point where I was like, I didn't like. Now I'm old. It's like I felt like I was missing shit. Then I'm like, man, I'm 24, man. That was the thing. I'm like, I'm 24 years old.
Get your yeah.
And it's like, you get to this point, you're like, damn, fucking 24, man, 19, 20, 21, 22, I'm fucking 24 years old, and I'm fucking locked up. And it's like, all them years of not thinking about it, and then that day, in that 10 minutes of silence, you remembered that you fucking 24 years old and you haven't done nothing, and you like, and then you know that this shit is gonna go on even when you get out.
What do you mean?
No matter what success I have, no matter what, I know it, I still can't get an apartment in my own name.
Because you're an ex-con.
Ex-con.
Can you vote?
Yeah, I can vote.
Okay. You shouldn't, but that's fine.
But that's a different story. And it's like,
you can't get an apartment in your own name because they'll do a background check. I'm like, no fucking way.
Because nobody won't. No matter how many accolades and I don't give a fuck.
You a Nobel Prize. I don't care that you that's not on your resume.
Keynote speaker at several prestigious universities. I don't care that you got 10,000 kids program. I don't want to stay next to you. I can't even see you perform. I don't want to stay next to you.
Wow.
And anytime you put that on your record, no matter what you do, that you feel like I'm 41 years old and you still holding a mistake that I made against me when I was 19.
A mistake that didn't even hurt anybody or do anything to anybody. You were trying to sell coke to coke users or coke dealers.
Ain't that crazy? And then you
6 years. I mean, when you see movies and stuff and you're like, oh, this guy only got 7 years for murder, or this guy only got this many, you know, for 18 months for this, and you're like, oh, it sucks, it's nothing. But that's just when you compare it to all these other punishments. But sometimes I step back and I really think about it, and I'm like, 18 months without my freedom? A year and a half? Like, if I go to jail now, I don't get out till fucking August of 2016. Like, that's a long time. 7 years is a massive amount of time. Fuck.
They try to put you in a rut. If I just didn't have a I'm not going to give up attitude, shit would have been over. Because you the loopholes that you had to go through just to say, hey man, I'm not 19. I don't even have the same. Don't nobody even use crack no more. you punish me for a drug that's obsolete. It's not even around anymore, man. Shit, who's still doing PCP?
Right. You're still punished for it. PCP. Yeah.
I ain't doing Quaaludes. I ain't the Quaalude dealer.
Those punishments are very long.
And it's
like, I know it's supposed to like incentivize people not to do it themselves, but like, come on, that's cruel and unusual. What am I doing? Selling it to fucking kids on playgrounds?
If somebody
come on
judge you for everything that you did when you was 19.
Also, a lot of it, you just get lucky. You don't get caught like that. Like I said, I mean, when I was 16, I drove. I got my license, and I drove like an animal. I drove 90 between two red lights. You know, the green light. It's like slam on that accelerator and slam on the brake. And it's like I could have easily killed some kid. My life would have been way different. I drove drunk so many times. And if I run over somebody, then it's like that's manslaughter, whatever it is. You go to jail for a long time. And it's like, but it's not like I live my life differently than the people who did go to there. You know, I live my life the same, and I just didn't catch, you know, that bad day where some toddler lost their ball playing soccer and jumped into the street. You just get lucky, but you're doing the same acts. Same shit with like venereal disease. It's like, I fucked without condoms. I got lucky. Yeah. I didn't get herpes.
Yeah.
I didn't get AIDS. And someone else did the same shit I did and got that.
They threw their dick on the crap table just like you. Hoping they on snake eyes.
It's all just luck. Yeah, and it keeps on for 6 years. Fuck. Are you mad at the system?
Nah.
Not.
I'm not mad at the system. I'm mad at my choices.
Yeah.
I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at the inability to stop the revolving door, to stop people from going, because I haven't, I really think I haven't made it yet in stand up according to what other people think making it is.
Or there's
I
no making it.
I haven't done that thing that makes me influential enough to change the scope of how people think.
Right.
Like, just if I could change, like, take and put sense into some people's head about the choices that, like with my daughter, my 16-year-old, she doesn't understand consequences and how things could be better for her, and she waits. Like, my daughter's she could be such a great swimmer, because I have aspirations of having the first African-American person to ever win a solo medal in swimming. So having this aspiration, I put my daughter on this fast
track. First what swimmer?
African-American.
Okay. You ever see Bill Burr's bit about the pool movie? The black pool, black swimmers in whatever college it was? When he's like, it's always white people won't let black people play. Okay, we baseball movie and this. Now there's a swimming movie? Get out of the pool, you damn Negroes. We don't want you here. It's like, what else do I have to feel guilty about? Fucking swimming? Come on.
Yeah, Bill is good, bro.
So you had aspirations to be the first African-American solo medal.
I'm trying to be Venus and Serena daddy. Yeah. Trying to have first, you know, so my daughter, she doesn't see how swimming can pay for her college. She doesn't see what I see. So we going through this. She don't want to swim and X, Y, and Z. Now she's in high school. She's putting forth a very horrible effort in swimming. So a friend of mine goes to the same middle school that my daughter went to. And this is the thing. They had a swim meet. She sends me a text and says, hey, look at your daughter, still holds the record in the 200 butterfly at the middle school from 2 years ago. And I just shook my head when I thought about it. I'm like, so I called my daughter and I said, you see, at your middle school, when you was focused on swimming, and you was listening to me before you got quote unquote into boys and all of the rest of this dumb nonsense, you was leaving records places. You haven't had a good time since you got in swimming. You haven't had a good time since you got to high school because your focus is all over the place. So are you proud that you left a record? Yeah. You won't be as proud when you leave high school.
Oh.
Nobody will remember that you was even there.
Oh, Jesus, man. Fuck.
And that's because she doesn't want to put forth an effort, because I understand greatness is not expected out of you. It's drug out of you. And you keep making these mistakes. And I'm saying that to say this. Now she's in a meet Friday. It's called the last chance meet for you to go to regionals.
Oh, really?
Now, we was in this position last year. She missed it by 3 seconds. I told her last year, if you work hard, we won't ever have to be in a last chance meet again. But
she
here
didn't
we
work
are.
Hard.
Here we are again. If I could just put in her head what makes sense. If you look at me versus every comic in Houston that I started with.
You lapped?
By miles.
Yeah.
Even the comics that were before me, now it's a running joke in Houston. It's like, we don't know how he get on these TV shows. He must be a part of Illuminati. And I was like, yeah, the Illuminati will work.
Yeah.
Because.
So it all comes down to, right?
I'm one of the only comics that I want to play every room. I want to play in front of every. Well, you headline this room. Why would you come feature for Bobby Lee? I don't have Bobby Lee's audience. When
you get a chance to be in front of that audience and take them with you. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing people understand. It's like, don't worry about respect. Just like, fuck it. Yeah, I don't have a feature anymore. Well, you're featuring for Dave Chappelle in front of 10,000 people. So that's a lot more than just featuring. Don't look at it like that.
I would come and I would host for Mars. I would feature for this person. And then 2 weeks later, I would headline. They was like, where's this going? Like, hey, man, he just works here. Yeah. And why else you? It's about the audiences, man. It's about the crowds. It's about your ethic.
It's hard to know about the work, though. I didn't get it until a few years ago to like, all right, let me fucking really put all my focus on this. That's what you said. It's like focus. It's not even about like, it's just focus. If that's all you're thinking about, get more. Can I move ahead? How can I get this? What do I need to do? Oh, I need to meet that person. Well, where am I going to meet him? Where is he going to see me go on stage? If that's the guy that's making the call, where is he going to see me go on stage? And I'm going to work until then. It could be better. So we'll see a better thing and build new material. Yeah, it's hard. But once you focus on it, the world opens up.
And people don't believe. Like, you're
it's like Moses. You got to put your first step in the water. Then it parts.
Your show was the first show that I won the Comedy Central's comic to watch thing. Uh-huh. And then they was offering me these shows to go on because it's part of the prize or whatever. And I kept turning down. I'm like, no, I don't fit that. And they was like, what? And I was, other comics was like, I can't believe you turned down this comedy show, this show, this show. I'm like, it doesn't fit what I'm about. And today I have a show that fits me. I'm cool.
It does fit you great.
Whether I even do anything on Comedy Central, I'm fine with that. And people,
it's empowered to be going, that's not what I do. I would appreciate the opportunity, but that's not my opportunity. We need a juggler. We're going to put him on Tonight Show. Well, I don't juggle. So no offense. That's not for me.
So the lady who you just saw in the hallway,
yeah.
She was like, hey, my entertainment attorney, she's like, hey, they just came up with this new show. What you think about this show? I'm like, what's the name of it? I go online and I'm just whole day. I'm just sitting there
looking at all the stories.
Just looking at all the stuff. I'm like, and I think I say, the host is weird.
Me?
Yeah, I was like, the host is weird. Every episode, the host is weird.
What's happening? The host is weird.
She would say, every episode, the host is weird. Hey, Joe Rogan's on here. The host is weird. He's a crazy. This all my text was about you. He's a crazy person.
Crazy person. I got a rep or something.
And then I was like, yo, man, this show, and you know what settled me on it?
What?
There were no black people on the show.
How many black people?
And when she said, when I went through all of it, I said, there are no black people on the show. And the host is weird. I want to do it.
I want to show this guy.
She's like, why? I say, because
of the host.
She's like, you like where? I say, no. I like somebody who have the balls to say, I want to do this type of show. And I'm going to say it. What was about you that you would say anything? I was like, I was just sitting there like, did he fucking just say that? I was sitting there like, yo. I was calling people like, yo, man, you ever heard of this show? And he's like, nah. I'm like, yo, this dude, I got your name wrong for the first, I know the first 10 times I said it.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, man, this dude is a crazy person. And I would just go, because I like comedy, but it's nobody that I would, like if I'm on the road with somebody,
yeah,
I'm only watching them Sunday. Because their show doesn't interest me enough to sit there and watch it.
Over and over again. Over and over. Yeah.
I just watch on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll get comfortable and fuck around, then I'll see it. Yeah.
It's only a couple of people I watch their show each time because I'm a I'm looking for this. What is he doing? I'm like a kung fu person. What style does he have?
He has technique. It's all boils down to technique.
What?
Oh, that's why you hold the mic stand.
What? I don't do.
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting. I'm just sitting there. Like, he's fucking crazy.
And I just would admit my past.
I would walk out and I was like, "Yo, man, look, y'all got to go online with this show because I'm prepping people because I'm telling them I want to get this show. I'm gonna do everything in my power to get on this show." And this old black man like, "Fuck, you won't be on there for? Ain't no more white people on there."
Well, yeah, it's a golden opportunity.
And the host is weird. It's like, this is the show that's going to separate me from everybody else to let them know where I'm actually at and where I can hold my range at. I was so amped, and then they was like, "Okay, you may be on the this, you may be on that," and I'm like, "I don't give a damn."
Yeah,
and
just about the show.
Who knew I was hype about it? DL knew I was hype because he was like, "You took pictures." I was like, "Yeah."
Of the show, of big backstage and stuff, and like before it started. It's only
three times he's ever seen me take pictures. I took pictures because I really wanted to be on Def Jam.
Yeah,
it was like this black tag of
sure.
Want to be on Def symbol. Jam. When I hosted Def Jam.
You hosted Def Jam?
DL hosted Def Jam and I was on it. And they didn't want me on it. That was the...
He got you on?
He got me on.
Yeah, I love that. When people don't watch on, you get on anyway.
And I got a standing ovation. And because he walked back and he said, "Well, show him why I picked you." Standing ovation. And then I took pictures after my stand ovation. Because before that, I wouldn't talk to anybody. I wanted to be in my trailer. I didn't want nobody to know what my set was going to be. I didn't do my set at any of this place. I didn't warm up. I talked to Dave Lawson in my hotel room for 20 minutes. I say, "Hey, Dave, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just know I have a block of 20-minute stuff that I want to piece together." They came back and told me I had 4 minutes. I said, four minutes? The paper said 8.
Yeah.
He said, "All right, 8 minutes." So they gave me the 8 minutes. I called Dave in my trailer. I said, "Dave, I got 8 minutes." And he just told me, "Leave no gaps."
Mm.
And
so they can't edit around shit?
They can't edit around. They ran 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
Of my eight. That's a long time.
They just took my breaths out.
Yeah.
While I took
that's it.
And even with everything, I don't know why I called Dave. I just called Dave Lawson. I was just like, "Hey, man, I'm about to do. This is not happening." And he said, "What story?" I told him the story. Like, "I mean, that's pretty cool. I like that," because he knows
the story.
And he's like, "Man, just do you." And I was like, "Cool, man. However it come out, I just wanted to be on the show."
Yeah,
because
it's a cool way you did it. The way it's like, you don't even know what you're talking about for the first 5 minutes. You're like, "I don't even know what is he even talking about. I like it, but I don't know where he's going." And then you're like, oh all right. Yeah, great job,
man. It was just an honor to even be considered.
Yeah,
in that
I didn't really know you. Eric Abrams knew you. He really liked you, you know. And I was like, "All right, I mean, if you think so." Man. But man, I'm glad he did.
And but you, man,
he did the same shit the year before with Kurt Braunholer, where I was like, I don't know. He's like, I like this guy a lot. And I was like, "All right." And then I was like, "Dude, I was wrong. I killed." Same as you. I'll say it. Like, any sort of, I didn't fight you at all, but him, I was like, "I don't know." But I was like, "Man, was I wrong? Good job." I love that when people force some success on me. It's like, fuck yeah, finally.
Man, it's just a thing to work with.
It was great.
Because you want to you get to this level where you, and maybe everybody doesn't,
yeah,
where you see people and you want to work with them because you just feel like, hey man, they just get it. They just a different polished comic. They just a different person. It's like, man, this person is there.
Study the dojo for a little bit, and you're like, yeah. Interesting. I pick up some technique.
Like, learning from this. This is cool. And you just, and then you come back with a different story to tell other comics. Like, yo, man, whole different level.
You said he's weird, but I don't know if I saw what you're talking about. It seemed pretty pleasant.
Even when I watched you on the show, I was like, man, this story is crazy.
Which one did you see? What did you see?
When I was watching the preview, you talking about the story. You bend down. This is not sexual.
Oh yeah.
It's the small things, and it's the when you the show you was talking about. You had to use restroom in this very tight hole.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's not lying.
Right. You show the details of it
because when you overseas, man, I've been overseas, and I'm like, yo, man.
You've been to those shit squatters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like
a mess.
Amsterdam is the, I'm like, I don't even think they even know. Like, do you know that they don't care about peeing anywhere? Like,
they don't. They just piss. They tell their kids, go piss. I see the kids, like the Hutongs in Beijing, and they're looking back, and the mother's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I can't hear what they're saying, but I'm like, what is she telling him to do? And he looks back, like, unsure. She's like, do it already. I'm like, dude, what? What's it? Pulls his dick out, he looks, and he goes, go on. All right, just pisses on the street.
Yeah.
Fucking mainlanders, man.
And I'm sitting there watching, I'm like,
yeah. Yep. It's a fun show to watch, right? All the stories, you're like, that's fun. Some guys are so-so, but some guys, when they're good, you're like, that's a fun story to watch.
And the experience, different vibe. It was almost like when I did Comedy Time. And I was
laid back. I try to make it laid back where it's like, just go up, have a good set. It's a good show. I made the show real good. The crowd's prepped. They're into it. We're not just trying to capture on tape. We're trying to make a good show.
Yeah, it is. It's a different way. It's like night and day from when you shoot something with BET or something. It's so
right. Oh, yeah, for sure, like, huh?
I was like, yo, this is the most laid back. I'm like, some places, even with the crafts, I was just in crafts, just like eating random things. In some craft places, you like, can I have these?
Yeah,
chips?
Yeah, that's exactly. You don't know if you're comfortable.
It was just, and it was a great group of guys, and there's guys that most of the people I've never seen.
Yeah,
and I was like, yo, this dude is freaking cool.
L.A., the black and the white scene in L.A. are real separated in comedy. There's very little overlap. Guys like Ian Edwards is like, but it ain't, there ain't, they're like, in New York, it's overlap. They're in each other's scenes. Or at least the blacks are in the white scene, or the mainstream scene, let's say.
Yeah, see, like you got like Ian Edwards, I like Ian, and me, I just want to be
accepted by everybody.
Be able to be in a...
Yeah. Hey, we're almost done. What?
Be able to be in a... In an environment where you go anywhere, anybody, you know, let you up, anybody wants to work
exactly.
with you. People are like, hey, man, I want to go on the road. I want to be on the road with this guy. I want this guy to be, you know, because you think in your mind, like, if they do a...
Every room in the country.
If they do a tour, would they pick you to be on a tour? To be, can you, you know... These things, you just want to be in these environments, and like being like when I was out with DL, his environment of being with the Kings, I've never met some of these people or been in these type of conversations and seen the difference. This difference between through the Kings, it was different between Bernie, different between Sid. It's different between they whole who comes to see them and is different. DL has a very intelligent, smart audience.
Cedric probably way different.
Yeah, it's a lot of more happy, goofy type.
So you got to have them like get each of those people to like you, you know.
Yeah. So when you out with D is a lot of smart, really smart people. Like you can't feature for him and not read.
right.
You have to read.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up. I think we've gone long enough. This is fun, man. Thanks, Ali.
Oh, man, this is...
Ali or Ali?
Ali. Ali Sadiq.
Where can people find you? If they want to find you.
Man, if they want to find me, Instagram, Twitter, that all that normal.
What are you on there? Your name?
It's my name. Ali. But, you know, my name is spelled S-I-D-D-I-Q.
S-I-D-D-I-Q.
Yeah, I tell people don't spell my name with an A. That's sad dick. You know, I don't represent
Sadiq. Sadiq. S-I. Yeah, I know.
I mean,
they spelled, got it wrong. The intro to the episode you're on. So that guy, the director, he decided to do 8 different intros for 8 episodes instead of just 1 intro, like for the year.
Yeah.
Like, he's crazy. He's like, fuck it. Let me just do 8 different ones. And the one that you're on, this battle scene, is so fucking cool. It's so fucking cool. But they kept getting your name wrong. And we kept like, guys, we said that's not how you spell the name. And they're like, oh, sorry. I'll fix it. And this great special effects thing and your name pops up. Like, get the fucking name right. So I know how to spell your name.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. It gets spelled. I don't know whether the Q-U... Oh, yeah. Q-U-E Sadiqi comes on the air. Sadiqi. Like it's
add it on. They add the Q-U-E Sadiqi. It must be Sadiqi. No, Sadiq.
Yeah. And for some reason, black people don't know how to say Ali unless Muhammad is
then they can do Ali.
I was like, yo, what's your name? Who's your favorite boxer? Muhammad Ali. Take the Muhammad off. That's me.
So there you go. Ali. Yeah. You got CDs out too, right?
Oh, man. I actually have... 2 on the way, but I have Talking Loud, Saying Something. That's all of them on iTunes. This Is Personal and Enjoy Your Life. The new 2 is that's coming is I Keep Making Mistakes and Damaged Goods. I can't believe that I guess I'm gonna start getting more dates now. They have me headlining myself.
Really?
Coming to some spots. The end of January, I'm coming to Crackers.
End of January.
Yeah.
Hold on, that's a fucking year. Oh no, that's now. Yeah, okay, this, now. All right, we're in January.
The 28th through the 31st, I'll be at Crackers.
That's when this will come out the beginning of that week.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect. Indianapolis, which one? Which Crackers? Broad Ripple or downtown?
Downtown.
Oh fuck.
Wow, what's the?
It's all right. It's just not as good.
It's not as good.
It's not as good as downtown. Has got soul. I mean, not downtown. Broad Ripple's got soul. But I'll tell you right now, there's Yats. There's 2 locations of Yats. You like Cajun food, Creole food at all?
Yeah.
God, it's so good. And there's one downtown too. YAT*S. It's so, yes. For like $8-9, cash only, I think. You get a good big meal. You gotta have a line to a bathroom ready. Like when you're finished, you just gotta leave. Can't dilly dally.
Trey,
you gotta go.
Like a laxative. Yeah, man. I'm trying to get, you know, out there by myself. So yeah,
that's great. So when are you going to be there?
The 28th through the 31st at Crackers.
Cool. And this, your episode will air the 29th at night.
Oh wow,
the 29th at night. So while you're there, your episode will air.
Yeah,
that'll be cool. Maybe we'll get some people that came in to see it.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully,
this will come out on the 26th. Fucking perfect. So this weekend, when you hear this weekend, you're at Crackers, Indianapolis, downtown.
Yeah.
Deal with Ruth Ann. Go see Bob and Tom.
Yeah, I'm gonna do. Wow. It's my first time ever there. The only time I've been in Indianapolis, I went to the Madam C.J. Walker Theater, and that's pretty much it.
Indy's pretty cool. What's cool about that is she puts you up in the middle of nowhere, but she puts you up the feature also, gets a hotel room there,
mm-hmm.
and the headliner and feature at Broad Ripple are also right there. So there's like 4 comics you can like chill with during the day if you really wanted to.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
There's a pool. Oh, you can't use that. Free breakfast though at that place.
Man, this sounds, I'm excited.
I like the people that said it's a shitty rut, but I'm like, I like it. The crowds are good enough. They're like smart enough. Miss Pat's there. Maybe you should meet her. You're male Miss Pat. Both went to prison at fucking young age, slinging dope.
Yeah, I'm excited. I just really want to do a lot of these clubs I haven't been to. Crackers is a good spot.
Crackers is one of the clubs that's on the radar of like known clubs. That's like a sort of a famous club.
Man, you know,
I'd always heard about that when I started.
What, you ever been? I'm quite sure you've done The Cellar.
Yeah, I just got in there like a year and a half ago.
Just got in there.
Yeah, that was the one where that's the last room where I was nervous before I played it. I was like, oh shit, I'm about to go up. Luckily, I got up once before I had to showcase. They got me up once when it didn't matter, so I got the nerves out of the way.
Yeah.
But even now, I was having my own show on the horizon, and I was like, fuck, she's not going to like me.
Yeah. You had a new special out, right?
Yeah, it just came out.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
man.
Hey, Rick, I did it in the original room.
Oh, you did it here?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Man, that's a big thing. How's the special? Tedious?
It looks exactly like I wanted to. A lot of work. There's way more work on the storyteller show, like producing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Looking over the edits of all the things, trying to make them fit into 7 minutes. I'll just say this. Yours is coming out, what did I say, the 29th?
29th.
12:30 at night, Thursday night, after at midnight. But the unedited version of yours will come out at some point, and that's even better. So we had to chop, we had to trim it as best we could down to like 7. But the 13-minute version is fucking sick. The 7 minutes pretty great too. Don't get me wrong; it's not like that sucks in any way. That's great. But the full version, I was like, oh, it's got all the life to it, man, all the ins and outs.
Man, y'all did it. It looked amazing.
Yeah, I like the way it looks. I like the way it looks.
Everybody looked amazing. It's a good show. I thought DL had missed it. He told me that he had missed it, and then
missed it. What do you mean missed it?
Like I thought that he had missed. I had missed him for
perform,
but he was the week before.
Yeah, we did two Monday, Tuesday, and we did another one the next Monday.
Yeah, and when I saw him, when I just saw his little clip, I laughed because I know that story. I was like,
yeah, he'll be cool too.
Great idea, man. I don't know.
Thanks. We just started doing it as a live show one day, just like, let's tell some mushroom stories. And then we did that, and then we just did, every month, we did like another topic. And we got some sick stories. We got some really cool stories. Tommy Chong's told a story about how he got arrested from like start to finish. And everybody, I remember Nick Thune sitting right next to me, we're both like staring like, wow, you know?
It's a great concept. It's just something new that comics...
it's not even like your material. It's just like, just tell a story. It can become your material later, maybe, but like, just tell. You've been telling this at parties, and you're not some fucking writer who's telling. You're a goddamn flowery, interesting comic. You're not some accountant who's telling it. You're an interesting guy. You're a comic. Comics tell stories better.
It's a great, man. It's not too many times I've been envious of something that's been out there. I'm like, that's normal.
Yeah.
This show, I was like, I couldn't stop. Like,
well, thanks for preparing,
people
dude.
People who don't know about the show, they know from me, like, yo, man, it's one of them things you start telling other comics, this is what you do and be risky.
Just, yeah, exactly. Just do exactly.
It.
Just exactly.
Do it, man. Just
open up, say some shit. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's a safe environment. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about, they're going to look down. Shut up. I'm the one admitting it. You're the one admitting it. So it's not like somebody found out anything about you.
Yeah.
You're admitting it yourself.
Hey.
Man, DC Benny did one in New York. We did one at the Bell House. He's talking about his molestation. Got molested by the fucking ice cream man. And he went, and everyone was laughing. Because they weren't like, oh, we don't have to cry for it. You're not crying about it. You're laughing about it. It happened a long time ago, so it's fine. Anyway, Ali Sadiq.
Man.
Thanks a lot, man. It was nice talking to you.
Oh, man.
Nice getting to meet you.
Definitely, man.
Appreciate it.
A pleasure.
Not to adventures, and they have a nice warm welcome for new inmates. Razors and sinks and sharp edge plates. Posse's will devour punk with power. After the shower, it's rush hour. So watch your back before you get sacked. There's a bunch of maniacs that's about to attack. If you're a hustling bro, keep a low profile, cause you won't be smiling on Rackers Allen. Oh my god, oh my god. Hello everybody, that's the episode. Ali Sadiq, interesting as fuck. Sorry for the echo if there was one. I'm gonna listen to it right now. What? I'm not taking you out. It's fucking 2:07 in the morning. I'm not taking you out. Fucking Benji, all you do is go from one side to the other. I ignore you on one side, and then you just jump to the other side of my legs. That's gonna help you. No, you try to fucking type. You try to get up in the morning like a real human being in your underwear, go to your desk and check your email. And then these dogs of the world. President Eisenhower meets with aliens at Holloman Air Force Base. 1 hour and 23 minutes. Come on, bro. What? No, get away. What? All right. So thank you, Ali Sadiq, very much for telling us all about your prison. God, it's weird how you really do take a guy with no violent tendencies and turn him into violent. I mean, when you, it's not the right way to do it. You have a non-violent guy becoming violent, and it's probably because of the privatized prison system. They don't give a shit. They're like, put them all in together. We don't care. But it's not the best thing for the people. I mean, for even non-criminals, it's not the best thing to have criminals become violent, learn how to be violent, force them to become violent to get by. What? Oh my God. He's such a fucking asshole. Yeah, go to my other side. Don't forget to go to my other side. Hit on those legs. So you go to your desk in your underwear, and this fucking dog scratches your legs. Pick me up. There's nothing up here. That's the episode, you guys. Don't forget to tune in. Watch Ali Siddiq's story. Thursday night, 12:30 a.m. Friday morning. With Kreischer and Paul Scheer. But to me, my favorite the whole year was this story you're going to see this weekend. I mean, this Thursday. So I'm in Denver this weekend. Come to the Comedy Works. I'm in February. I'm in Seattle, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Portland, March 5th, 6th, 7th, Brea Improv, 12th, 13th, 14th, and Sacramento the last weekend of March, and that's my entire March. I got drunk at a party tonight. I'm not slurring at all, right? It's pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 203, Prison Rules with Ali Siddiq, over and out.
Oh, well, the debit, he told a high shame. Says, I hang on a mess with ladders. Well, he's a dangerous man. Lord, Lord, he's a dangerous man. Oh, then the high shed, oh, yeah, we found Lazarus. Oh, yeah. He was hiding in the middle of a mountain. Oh, well, the high shed, oh, yeah, found Lazarus. He was hiding in the pillar of the mountain. Oh, with his head hung down, long, long with his head hung down. Within the high shadow, oh, yeah, little Lazarus, oh, yeah, is a Lazarus that come to arrest you. Well, the high shed, no ladder, there's a ladder that come to arrest you. Right, you're dead or alive, Lord, Lord, right, you're dead or alive. Oh, then the ladder, oh, well, get all the high shed, oh, well. Well, Lazarus, oh, yeah, oh, the high shed, oh, yeah, says I never could have been arrested. Oh, by no one man, Lord, Lord, by no one man. And then the high shed, oh, yeah, he shot Lazarus, oh, yeah, shining with a great big number. Oh,
Tallahassee, Chattanooga, Willie Stalin will a mighty big number. The father's fire, Lord, Lord, will a 45. Good and they take that for them, for them. Here's the lady on the commissary garret. Well, they take that for them, for them.